Welcome back to the Monolith Filmcast, folks. I'm your host, Isaac. And as always, here's your co-host, Mr. Jake Joyner.
Your load, should you choose to blow it.
That's Jake Joyner. And joining us on a very special return to the pod this week is none other than Dead Man's Bones himself, Mr. Ethan.
That's the job.
Hey, there he is. Shout out to the Mission Impossible Imagine Dragons intro. We're going to let this Imagine Dragons friction song jam out for a bit. Stuck in the middle of all irrelevance. And your heart is beating. Because you know that you got to get out of the middle and rise to the top now. We actually were talking about this just a minute ago. We were finding out that that's not even Mission Impossible related. When we watched Fallout, I thought that it was like the song that they went out and got made for that movie.
Nope.
Why did they do that?
Imagine Dragons or
Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Honestly, there's fault on both sides, really.
I think they're just ripping shit off. Mm-hmm. And Tom Cruise, instead of suing them, he was like, this is trailer music.
He's like, I got a proposition for
can't
you.
Can't fight the friction. They did one for Iron Man 3.
Imagine Dragons did?
Yeah, I had the soundtrack because they had a bunch of like bands like that. You guys want to hear what it sounds like?
Yeah.
It's called Ready, Aim, Fire.
With our backs to the wall, the darkness will fall. We never
I like the sword noises in the background.
Ready, aim, fire. Is this just one song? There's not like a soundbite in the background?
No, this is their song.
There's so much happening.
Ready, aim, fire. Ready, aim, fire away. Ready, aim.
Pretty bad.
Pretty fucking terrible.
Way worse than the Mission Impossible.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I found my way onto a website where they're like, every Imagine Dragons song used in a trailer, and the Mission Impossible wasn't even on there.
That's
like,
bullshit.
You overlooked the best one.
That is the best one.
The good one. Before we get started today we're going to be talking about Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 amongst a slew of other news. But before we get started today, I want to ask you guys this. We're talking about Imagine Dragons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, I do have to admit that Imagine Dragons used to be my favorite band.
Damn.
Yep.
Like, my favorite. Took tracks to UVU to go see their concert.
That's epic. And How old were you, 14?
Did you go 15? With Jeremiah Gore?
I went with Jeremiah Gore.
Nice.
I went with Jeremiah. I don't have a bleep button.
We should get that on there.
We should get a bleep button.
No, no. Shut up!
I went with Jeremiah.
I'm sorry, little kids.
Anyways. And then I got stuck out there. I didn't have a car. And then by the time the concert was over, tracks was done.
Damn, that
and then
means
my
you're
phone
out late.
Was dying.
That means you're
it was,
out real
it was
late.
Pretty stressful. And Smith's kind of fucked us over because it was when they were still doing Smith's ticks. Remember that?
Oh shit, I remember Smith's ticks,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah,
that's
so
crazy.
What a time. So, anyways, my question this week is:
it's Dev's favorite band to this day, so
which
you can't feel that.
Is
bad
a little
about
less
it.
Embarrassing. Yeah, shout out to the Cruise Control, but Dev Cruise.
That's less embarrassing.
To have Imagine Dragons be your favorite band as a 30-year-old? Yeah, yeah, I think so.
That's less embarrassing to you?
I'm sorry, more embarrassing.
Okay,
there we go.
More embarrassing.
That's definitely more embarrassing.
I was like, why are you guys so confused?
You know how Dev's always asking for dating advice?
That's the one.
Rule number one, stop talking about Imagine Dragons.
Stop talking about if your favorite TV show is Family Guy and your favorite band is Imagine Dragons, jeez, dude, I don't know.
He don't get no ass.
Everyone who's listening is like, who the fuck are you guys talking about? I don't even know if they listen to this. So.
They don't. They definitely don't. Because we talk about them often.
Shout out to the Cruise
Control. We're their biggest fans, but they don't even know who we are.
Yeah, exactly.
We were on it once, though. So.
Anyway.
What can you do?
So anyways, my question is, what was your most embarrassing like fandom? Mm. You can do now. You can do high school. You can do whatever.
Shit. It's definitely sometime during junior high. Mine's kind of tricky, and I feel like it's less interesting because it's not, like, an uncommon one.
Sure.
Like, I was really in, like, I was a big pop-punk kid when I was younger.
Sure.
And I was really big on, like, the, I don't even know what that genre was called, like, just those like, metal bands. You know what I mean? Like, Pierce the Veil was a big Pierce the Veil guy.
Okay.
I used to love, what were they called? Kingdom something.
Kingdom Come?
Kingdom.
No.
Kingdom of Leon?
No, dude. Of video games. I gotta find it, bro.
The Red Keep.
Kingdom.
Oh, bro, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Pierce Avell had that one good song.
King for a Day?
Yeah.
Kingdom for a Day?
Pierce Avell fucking rocked, dude.
This was Jake on his way to school. He's like, fuck no you, Melanie. I'm not listening. I'm going to Spanish class. Damn it, jump off of that
jersey. I love this shit, dude. I used to love that shit. I can still get down to it, too.
Dude, Kingdom what? It's going to drive me crazy.
I don't know. I got to figure it out.
I used to like Issues.
Oh, see, I never got on the Issues kick. That one's also less embarrassing because people like that into high school. I think Steven still likes Issues.
I liked Issues into high school.
Issues. Yeah. You what got about, some fucking issues, what you got.
I don't remember what buttons we even have on this thing.
I missed the part where that's my problem.
That's a good one.
That I'll is a really good one.
What about you, Ethan, while he tries to figure out what Kingdom is?
Look, if I walked into some friend of mine's boyfriend's house and he had Mission Impossible posters, I'd be like, red flag. So sure. I'd say this shit.
What about this one? I have another one that I'm going to say is probably yours.
Oh, that was like six-year-old me.
What is this?
Moose Butter. BYU alums.
Listen to this.
Spaceships is monsters is Star Wars. We love it. Come and help me.
I know this shit.
Obi-Wan.
It like makes my whole body
shiver. Moose Butter. Yeah, I'll claim that.
Yeah, Moose Butter. All right, that's a good one. That's a good one. Figure out what the fuck you're talking about yet?
Crown the Empire.
Oh.
Sorry.
What song you want me to play?
This one is actually really fucking bad.
Crown the Empire.
Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah. The album's called The Fallout.
Okay, what's the song?
They play the song called The Fallout.
Fallout.
I felt my heart rate begin to choke out the fucking noise like I was cursed.
That's a bad one.
If anything, you guys should tell, we should all tell each other what each other's most embarrassing one is.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's true. Do you guys know anything more embarrassing than that? To me, that was a deep cut.
Yeah, like all that, you all were that a fan whole of? Genre of music.
That's yours, for sure.
That's definitely mine.
I'm trying to think of something else that you really liked that I would consider embarrassing that I never liked. I know something that you liked that was into high school and everyone else liked it, and I think it's embarrassing because I never liked it.
What is it?
I'll play it for you. It's similar, just not like...
It was music related?
Yeah. Oh, are we doing more than music?
Oh, I just kind of figured it was generic. Possible.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess the gloves was like pretty embarrassing.
It was the very embarrassing.
Fingerless gloves.
I used to also have this... In junior high, I had this skeleton hoodie. Mm-hmm. It like had bones on
like
it.
Like Donnie Darko? Mm.
It was a lot like... It was kind of like
that. Did
the
hood zip up to be a mask?
No. Oh. But it did have something to do with the hood. It had a mohawk
on the hood. That's sick. Like, that's not embarrassing. That's
cool. It was sick, dude. So I wear that and Jack Skellington fingerless gloves to school.
So what's mine then, you think?
Hmm.
I was on improv. Oof.
I mean, but that's not like a fandom, though. That's where my head went. But
and we all thought it was funny. It wasn't like we were like...
Oh, yeah, you were the king thing. Of it.
That's true. Fair
in the audience, when Chaz and I were going up, it was like... Okay,
this is good.
Finally.
Yeah.
This is good. Yeah,
finally
sure.
Some fun stuff.
Fair enough.
Mm.
I say, weren't you into Pierce the Veil and all that?
I wasn't into Bring Me the Horizon or Pierce the Veil, really. I'll play an Issues snippet, though, that's pretty bad.
I never fucking liked Issues.
Dude, they
scaring
had some,
away our whole audience.
They're really like, what the fuck is this?
You're going to scare your wife away, dude.
Yeah, Kliss is not going to love these
You're
going
to go upstairs and Moose and Kliss are going to be gone. All it's going to be left as a note.
Oh, God, the album artwork is so ugly. God, let's see. Oh, man. This was the EP I really liked.
Is it that green one?
It's called Black Diamond. God, I can't even.
Yeah,
I
dude,
can't
that's
even.
Fucking gnarly. You remember that Justin Bieber cover they did?
That was actually pretty good. I'm gonna play that one. I gotta play that one. Justin Bieber Issues.
You know what's embarrassing right now, Isaac? Is you're gonna listen to this and you're gonna be like, "This is still pretty good."
It is still pretty good.
I fucking knew he was gonna.
Here
say
we go. You ready? Oh, this is the best part right here.
The beginning.
I got money in my hands and I really like to blow. Sway. On you, chill up on the fly while we ain't for them. I don't know about me, but I know about you. So say hello to my, say hello to my veteran three. Sway.
I like. See, now this was from a little fun ditty called
Pop. That was the best part.
It was called Punk Goes Pop or Pop
oh,
Goes Punk.
Oh, classic. Yes. That is the worst thing anybody could possibly be.
It was really rough stuff.
I went on show choir tour with a guy that was just listening to that whole time, and it was like, Oh, I hate
worst
this.
Worst albums. Yeah.
Oh, I hate this. It was the pop isn't very good anyway.
Yeah.
Don't make
was,
it punk.
That was pretty bad. That was a pretty bad.
Brutal.
Damn, dude.
Sheesh. Yeah.
You can't fight the friction.
Can't fight the friction with that one.
Can't fight the friction.
God, that was rough.
See, liking Imagine Dragons when you were 14, embarrassing. Unironically liking the Can't Fight the Friction song from Imagine Dragons after listening to it and not really liking it for the first couple times when you're 25 years old, not cringe.
Not cringe. Nothing's cringe when you're 25 years old anymore because you realize that that's fucking dumb.
It's true.
I guess, actually, okay, that's not true. If you're a 30-year-old and you like Story So Far, that's cringe. Mm,
that's weird.
Because all he does is make music about 14-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. So when you're 16, 14, 15 years old,
and then
perfect.
He hates strippers.
It's perfect. Yeah, exactly. So it's like that's cringe. That's cringe, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Should we talk about some news?
Yeah.
All right. What do you got for me?
Oh, shit.
I'm just kidding. I'll pull it up. All right. We got a big news week this week, folks. Let me go. Let me pull this up real quick. All right, Tom, set us up. Here we go.
I love my popcorn. Movies, popcorn.
All right. First up.
Movies, popcorn.
Movies.
We have, holy shit, we've got a lot. All right. Last week we talked about HBO's The Shards. First up this week, the first trailer for Ridley Scott's Napoleon starring Joaquin Phoenix has dropped. Did you watch the trailer?
I haven't watched this trailer.
Have you watched the trailer?
No.
Live reaction.
Live reaction time.
I'll get it set up. We'll move on to the next topic while I get
thrilling
this
audio.
Oh yeah, it's going to be so good. All right, after that, we have updates on Ari Aster's next film. It's going to be called Eddington. It's described as a Western noir ensemble movie set during the COVID-19 pandemic. Oh, they had me in the first half.
Right?
Yeah, Western noir, whatever that means.
It's just,
speaking of.
It's just a little late for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just, a COVID
movie? But
if
anybody can do it.
Ari Aster's just allowed to do whatever he wants.
That's true, I guess. He
really
that's
is.
True.
If anyone can make, I'll be more stoked for that than Bo is Afraid.
Did you like Bo is Afraid? We should have done a Bo is Afraid episode.
I was going to bring that up, but we got caught up in the Mission Impossible storm. And I said, do you miss me?
That's a good one. Should we call the episode Do You Miss Me?
Nah, we'll figure something better.
All right. What's next?
Everybody in the audio listeners, Isaac's search history is Imagine Dragons Iron Man 3.
NBA 2K23 glitch.
Nancy NBA 2K23 Platinum.
Natalia Lafourcade.
Nancy Drew NBA 2K crossover.
All right, let's see. Here we go. Okay, ready? We're going to play these at the same time so the audience has something to listen
to. So Joaquin Phoenix is playing Napoleon Dynamite?
I guess something like that. Let's see. God, I don't know how the fuck to make this not double sound.
He's going to have to do.
Why is this not playing?
Wasn't Napoleon short?
Yeah.
Is Joaquin short?
I don't think so.
Should have got Tom Cruise to play him.
Did they make him artificially short?
They de-aged and shortened him. Does Ridley Scott still have it? Does he?
Yeah, he do.
Does he?
Yeah, he do.
Is he making Megalopolis? Is
As
that the Ridley
Alien
Scott?
Covenant
that's
soul
Francis
fan.
Ford Coppola.
That's right.
I think he does. The Last Duel was pretty good.
Last Duel was great. I love The Last Duel.
That's a good point. That was pretty good.
And Hasakuchi was fun.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he did Hasakuchi.
It was fun.
I think Hasakuchi could have been really good. Dude, I'm not kidding. They actually artificially shortened him or put him near really tall people.
Maybe he's just short.
Every shot he's in. We should look this up, actually.
I'll look it up
really quick.
Is that Vanessa Kirby?
He's 5'8".
What?
Yeah.
I thought he was taller than that for some reason.
Napoleon was around 5'6". Joaquin Phoenix is around 5'8".
Interesting.
Great.
That's
so
pretty funny
so we're
because...
we're glorifying Napoleon Bonaparte.
So a lot of people must have looked it up because when I look up how tall is Joaquin Phoenix, the first sentence says, Napoleon was around 5'6".
Damn.
Is this Vanessa Kirby? Mission Impossible alum?
Let me see. Yo. Yes.
Okay. I'll see it.
Here we go.
Good. Kind of wish they'd talk in a French accent.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like they're... Sounds like
they're
a
just
British
talking.
Accent.
They're just talking.
It was a conscious decision by him to be like, they're not doing that.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. I'll just watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, it looks fine.
Looks like good. A great Thanksgiving movie.
If it gets good reviews, I'll see it.
Yeah, it looks fine. I'm not like...
No, whoa. Now, what is this? 19 million views? 10 million views? Are you fucking kidding me?
19?
Both Apple TV originals. Sorry, we're talking about Killers of the Flower Moon. Has 10 million views.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah.
And look, Oppenheimer has 38 million views and has been up for 2 months.
Deservedly so.
Damn.
Barbie's got 40.
Don't even get me started on Barbie.
Dude, good thing Barbie did a million hours worth of like effort into their like promoting their movie. Now they can't promote it anymore.
What do you mean?
Oh, we'll get there. All right, up next. Anyways, Napoleon looks fine. Honestly, I remember so many people on Twitter were like freaking out. That was the first time I've watched the trailer. Also, it looks fine.
Yeah, it looks.
I'll see it.
Yeah,
I guess I'll see it.
Definitely doesn't look bad.
It's pretty funny to me though too.
Revolution stuff is interesting, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny too. Ethan made a joke about it, but people like are for real. There's discourse on Twitter about people being like, we know Napoleon's a tyrant, right? And it's like, do you think this movie is going to be like the Napoleon, the misunderstood?
I'm going to love the part where Joaquin Phoenix takes off his shirt and he's doing the bicep curl that Captain America does in Civil War.
Oh, that's
right. And they're
going
to make him look like a hero.
Drawing a smiley on his face with lipstick like the Joker. Like,
yeah. It's going to be him doing that bicep thing, but he's going to be holding the rope to the blade on the fucking guillotine.
Yeah, that's gonna be sick. That's gonna
be like,
sick.
No, we're not doing that.
What do you guys think about the Wolverine Deadpool images that have come out?
I think he looks sick.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I agree.
You know what else though?
What?
You know, have you seen, dude, I don't know if it's because I don't really get on Twitter super often anymore. It's usually like if you send stuff, I'll look at it.
Right.
And then I'll scroll through it for a little while. And I've just seen, like, I don't know if this app has always been this way, but just people just be complaining about shit
about
on this
everything.
App, bro. Oh, my God. Like, especially about this Wolverine suit, about how everybody's like, this is just, like, the MCU-ification of costumes and shit. And I was like, this is one of the best ones we've gotten in one of these movies.
Exactly. It's just...
No, shut up!
Exactly.
Shut the fuck up!
It's like, just relax.
Just fucking appreciate it. Relax.
Apparently, people were mad that he's got full sleeves, but apparently it's because he's got, like, skin issues or something. He's, like, sensitive. He's, like, prone to skin cancer on his arms or something.
Deadpool's
like that.
The one with skin issues, not Wolverine.
Yeah.
Oh! we need to get the dooms back. Yeah, I think it looks fine. I'm still not really excited for this movie. I don't really want to see it.
We're going to see it day one.
All right, Jake, you brought this up. I wanted you to hurry and run us through it. Tell us about this Henry Cavill Witcher beef.
I'll be honest, when I typed that, I think in my head I thought it was a lot more interesting, but I'll talk about it anyway. I just did a bunch of, like, I just started reading stuff about why Henry Cavill actually left The Witcher, because I thought it was for some other project, like some DC movie or something, but then we found out he's not Superman anymore. Turns out he would just button heads with the writers, like, constantly, and it's because, like
creative differences or what?
Yeah, like, major creative differences. Like, I guess, like, one of the best parts of season 2, I haven't watched it, but, like, one of the most fan-revered parts in season 2 was written by Henry Cavill.
Really?
And it was because he was constantly, I guess there was originally a scene that was written by the original writer, and Henry Cavill was like, fucking please don't do that. Like,
Geralt
please don't
never
do
that.
Yeah, I guess he like really cares about it or whatever, and that's why he's leaving it, because he was so fucking pissed off about it all the time.
That's cool, I guess.
Kind of interesting, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, up next, Michael Mann directed a Ferrari movie with Adam Driver, and it kind of fell apart, I guess. It like went nowhere, but Neon has purchased it, and it will be coming out Christmas Day this year. Here's the picture of Adam Driver as John Ferrari.
God damn. Is he Italian? Why is he getting all these Italian roles?
I don't know. Maybe he's Italian.
Damn.
I believe it if he's Italian. That's cool. Michael Mann's back. What's the last movie he made?
Heat. Heat 2.
That was the book?
I just watched Heat 1 for the first time the other day, and I made it all... That's a long movie. Yeah. I made it all the way to the last 10 minutes. Had to go see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
Damn.
Never returned.
That sucks, dude. What? I thought you were talking to me about how much you liked
it
that movie.
It was good. But I don't know when I'm going to finish it.
Oh, damn, especially dude, the last 10 minutes. It's like, it's almost like you got to start over. And then that's like a whole, start all the way over.
Yeah. Adam Driver, though, he's working with good directors. Oh, wait. He's also going to be the next Fantastic Four guy. So that kind of sucks.
And Paul Mescal's rumored to be Human Torch.
Oh, that's a recipe. That's going to be.
That's going to be so bad.
It's not going to be good. Remember when they did that with Miles Teller? When he was in the last Fast
Yeah, I was like,
Fantastic Four movie.
Well, he redeemed himself in Top Gun Maverick.
He did.
Now he's back.
Yeah,
that's
he did.
Fair. That's fair. Honestly, I should have saved our trailer reaction for this one because this is way more fucking fun.
That's true.
And in fact,
have you seen it yet?
Yeah, but I might just do it again anyways.
Okay.
Because the Napoleon trailer was kind of a letdown, to be honest. Not very good for audio. And I couldn't get the trailer to pop up sound-wise anyway. So here we go. We're going to react to the Wonka
trailer. I've spent the past 7 years traveling the world perfecting my craft. You see, I'm something of a magician, inventor, and chocolate maker. So quiet up and listen down. Nope, scratch that. Reverse it.
Mr. Wonka, I can see you're a man of great ingenuity.
That was his sorry little kid.
I'm making chocolate, of course. How do you like it? Dark, white, nutty, absolutely insane.
By the chocolate cartel. You can't get a shock without selling chocolate. Sell
brown, white, absolutely nutty.
No daydreaming.
What are we gonna do, Willy?
Who's the director on this again? It's someone
the guy
good.
The guy that directed Paddington.
Right.
I can't remember his name.
That was the best part of the trailer. I was like, okay. Well, that's good at least.
I know things haven't been easy.
It's very Christmassy.
It'll be better.
Very it comes out on Christmas. I figure it'll be a fun that's Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Where do we start?
For some people.
A good chocolate is simple.
Where is this?
It's just weird.
What's happening? Who got the chocolate that makes it fly?
Well, let's find out, shall we?
Who's for Hoverjob?
Nothing to see here. Just a small group of people defying the laws of gravity.
This part, a lot of people are talking shit on. I don't think it's that bad.
My name is Willy Wonka.
This little tagline that's coming up.
Too good.
Pretty sure I've gained about 150 pounds in the last 2 weeks.
You could change her life, Mr. Wonka. Change all their lives.
Every good thing in this world started with a dream. So you hold on to yours.
Here we go, Mama.
Mark my words. This is gonna be the greatest chocolate shop the world has ever seen.
So you're the funny little man who's been following.
I will have you know that I am a perfectly respectable size for an Oompa Loompa.
Hugh Grant Oompa Loompa?
Allow me to refresh your memory.
Oh, I don't think I want to hear that.
Too late. I've started dancing now. Once we've started, we can't stop.
Here's the thing.
A lot of feelings on that.
There's one
How Willy became Wonka is the tagline that I was talking about. People are talking so much shit.
How did Willy become Wonka?
It's fun. The only criticism that I truly agree with that I've seen people talking about is that the main character of the book is not Willy Wonka. It's Charlie. And I agree. That's way more interesting, is that Charlie is the one you're supposed to relate to. But
didn't they also do that with the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka movie?
That one's called...
I thought that was all about Willy and his Wonka.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that one's actually called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and the original one's called Willy Wonka.
That one, I might be misremembering it, isn't that Willy, Charlie, grown up?
From the original? I don't think
so. Am I incorrect?
What are you talking about?
Am I incorrect about that?
I think you're incorrect on that.
Okay, well, I didn't know you guys had such a great memory of the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka
I grew up LDS. I watched it a lot.
Was it good?
It's a good movie.
Probably better than...
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't think Wonka's going to be great. I think it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's Timothée Chalamet's fault that it looks that way.
I think
he's doing his best. I don't know that he's the right choice, though.
It is his fault he signed on the dotted line.
That's fair.
I don't have such a harsh opinion about it, and I saw a couple people being really harsh about it, but I can't not agree with what they're saying. It's just like... he doesn't have the sincere, like, excitement for that role.
He has too much riz.
He has too much rizma.
He's Paul Atreides. He's not Willy Wonka.
Yeah, like, I think the tweet was, like, he just sounds like a cheerful Paul Atreides.
Yeah. I saw someone else that said...
I'm making chocolate.
They are like, hate to say it, but Tom Holland would have ate this up. And I'm like...
Tom Holland would have been better, for sure.
I think
get
so.
Get a little MCU nerd in there.
Yeah.
Just someone with a little more, like... pizzazz. Oh, I also saw someone say, who's the guy that... he makes all the videos where he's, like... screaming and running around. He's like a comedian.
Tim Robinson?
No. But it's very much in that vein.
Mr. Beast?
Lot younger. Mr. Beast's age.
I'm so confused by this description.
You know who I'm talking about? He goes around and he interviews people. He always gets really red in the face. He's screaming and yelling. His name's like... oh, it's going to drive me crazy.
I got no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Way off.
Oh, it's going to drive me crazy.
You're way off base.
Is this some kind of Imagine Dragons fandom thing?
No. I don't even know what to look up to find this guy.
Yeah, me neither.
Dude, he's like...
I think you'd look him up and I'd be like, never heard of her.
Think of the guy... okay, tell me like a funny guy.
I don't know how this is helping. I don't know how that would help. I said it, funny guy.
I
Tim
didn't
Robinson.
Finish describing
fucking Bo Burnham,
him.
Bill Burr. Who do you want? No, what comedian do you want?
He's like maybe a little bit older than us. Okay. Uh-huh. White guy.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The guy on stage. Mm. I know who you're talking about. Matt Rife?
What? I don't know. Maybe.
The guy who he's a comedian, a bit older than us.
Uh-huh.
He's very good looking. And he's always doing crowd work.
No.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Matt Rife.
Nope. Oh my god, his name is literally on the tip of my tongue. Like, as soon as I say his name,
you're
gonna
fucking strangle you. You're gonna drive me crazy.
Dude, I can't.
He's interviewing people, screaming.
Sometimes he interviews people, like, and he's just like,
oh, Connor O'Malley.
Yes! Thank you.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do. You do know who Connor O'Malley is. When I show you a picture of him, you'll be like, oh, okay.
Hilarious.
Anyways, I saw someone say that Connor O'Malley would have been perfect for this role. And I agree.
Connor O'Malley would be perfect for any role.
I don't even know how the fuck to spell this guy's name.
O'Malley. Do you guys know Cillian Murphy's name is Killian Murphy?
Yeah, I don't like that.
I didn't know that.
This guy.
Cards for the NYPD. We need more jet skis for the NYPD. We need NYPD pontoon boat for all the cops to get out to a fucking party when they're done with their fucking shift. I want to thank you, Bill, for Operation Midtown Bull Rescue, where you sent in the National Guard to protect Midtown's bull restaurants from looters who are trying to break in there and steal edamame and carrot shavings. Thank you so much, Bill.
Okay, I do know what you're talking about. He's funny.
He would have been a great Wonka.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. It's definitely too sincere for Timothy.
Yeah, I agree.
Can't,
but
he just can't bring his voice out of that. It's just his voice, I think. Like, I think he's really putting his whole Timothy-ussy in it. But his voice is just too... I'm making chocolate. What do you think?
It just seems like...
It's a little too, like... No. It makes me feel like watching something my friend made. And I'm like...
mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks really good, Timothy.
Timothy? Yeah, I don't know. I'll see it, though.
Who knows? Maybe it'll come out.
I really appreciate the vibes, though. I don't know about you guys, but I'm like a sucker for that. Even just the score, that like nostalgic Christmas feeling, it's like makes me feel like I want to cry.
Expression.
Yeah, like I'm excited to see that in the movie theater.
That song does go hard.
I don't know. We should do a. We'll do. We'll listen to a trap music remix when we watch that movie.
Ooh, I bet they got some good ones.
Yeah, well, absolutely. All right. Anyways, that's the Wonka trailer. Up next, God, we still got so much more news before we even fucking get to where we're going. Harmony Korine has recently directed an A24 feature starring and written by Travis Scott. Apparently, it was secretly directed. Also,
didn't we hear about this a couple years ago? Like, or like
we heard about the Travis Scott thing.
Yeah,
We
didn't know Harmony was involved.
I see. Okay, because I remember like a script that said Travis Scott and A24 on it. But yeah, so, interesting.
We'll see.
You guys don't know the other part of this.
I don't know.
Travis Scott has not signed off on this movie being released.
Why?
I don't know. I think he doesn't like it or something. It test screened and then he was like, no.
Damn.
And that's why the story broke is, I think it was the film stage. They were like, we might never see it because Travis Scott hasn't approved it yet.
Interesting.
And people are pissed.
That sucks.
But
dude, watch,
this is going to end up being another movie like Slice where it's all this... like buzz, and then it comes out, and everyone's like, "Well, this fucking sucks."
I forgot about Slice.
I agree.
Or it's Beach Bum too.
which will just be forgotten into the void for the rest of eternity. Beach Bum
was
really
good. Beach Bum was so good.
Beach Bum was so sick, and on Cruise Control, when they were talking about Martin Lawrence versus Eddie Murphy, and they were like, he was in this movie called Beach Bum, I was like screaming in my car, because they were like, what the fuck is that? And I was just like, that drives me crazy.
Beach Bum was great, dude.
Beach Bum was great, but most people did not see that movie.
Cruise Control, catching more strays, I'll never hear.
Tim Robinson has been nominated for Best Short Form Actor at the Emmys. Whoa, so quiet.
This is a dual. I didn't know this is a dual production. Both of you are just get soundboard.
You gotta,
permission.
You gotta just go for it.
Yeah.
Dive your hand in.
No, sorry, little shit. But I'm gonna kill it.
Feels good, doesn't it?
That was good. That was good. We're gonna. We got.
This
some
is a very wholesome
Emmys.
Picture of him.
It is a good picture. Let's talk Emmys really quick. Emmy nominees came out. There's a bunch. What's crazy is that I don't think that you, I don't know about you, but I know for sure you haven't seen either of the shows that are the most heavily nominated.
Last of Us?
Oh, I guess I didn't think about The Last of Us. The Last of Us did get a bunch of noms. Succession has 27 nominations.
Holy, that's believable.
And the best lead actor, three of the lead actors are from Succession, and I think two of the best lead, the supporting actors in a drama are also from Succession, and then actresses as well.
Didn't McCulkin already win for Succession for like best actor or best supporting actor? Or something?
McCulkin? There's Macaulay Culkin, and then there's the other Culkins.
Kieran Culkin. Oh, Culkin. You're right. Culkin. Kieran Culkin.
Can I get a McFry and a McCulkin, please?
That sounds pretty good.
And White Lotus.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen White Lotus.
I haven't seen either of those. Well, I've started both of them.
No, dude. White Lotus especially. I agree. I love Succession, but...
I gotta check out White Lotus.
I could see why you guys might
not. I'm not talking shit. It's just... It's hard to get into.
The White Lotus. Those.
I have heard of White Lotus. You got to watch a few episodes. Yeah, I got to watch it.
White Lotus is great. We got Michael Parenti. I think that's how you say his name. He was nominated. He's the guy. He's Christopher in Sopranos.
Michael Imperioli?
Yes, thank you. Who's Michael Parenti? I think that's like a...
Michael Imperioli's parent.
I think that's... Michael Parenti is a leftist author. Emmy nominees, though, gonna be a stacked choice.
Also, Prey got nominated for Best TV Movie.
Ooh,
showing up
for
the horror.
That was a really good movie.
Also, unpacking it a little more, fucked because Disney owns Fox now, and they are not releasing Prey on physical media. Fuck that, boo! Fuck that, boo! Get that on Blu-ray. It's nominated for Emmys.
That's so fucked up. That's sick, though. I didn't even hear about that. That's cool.
Prey got nom. Probably won't win, but...
Prey's good.
Also, TV movies, still a thing.
Apparently.
Apparently. Oh, also, did you guys ever watch Jury Duty?
It's on the list.
Did you ever watch that one?
Mm-mm.
Jury Duty is the show where it's like a... It's kind of like a Nathan For You-esque thing.
Prank.
Where, yeah, they set this whole guy up to think that... I was wondering who the fuck was knocking.
It was
Rosa. Jury Duty is this whole thing where they set up an entire fake jury and case and everything, and it is they trick this guy into thinking that they're filming a documentary on how like the jury process works, and everybody is in on it. The courtroom, the judge, all the other jurors.
James Marsden
is in it as himself.
I've seen advertisements for it where like people are talking to James Marsden and they're like, aren't you in something or something like that?
Yeah. And it's all a prank on this one guy.
Is it James Marsden?
No, James Marsden plays himself, but he's in on the joke also. Oh, so he plays James Marsden, the actor who gets called for jury duty and is trying to get out of it.
Interesting.
Very funny show. It was actually really fucking funny.
That's an Amazon Prime joint?
I think so. Yeah, it's like on some weird off joint, but you can watch it on Amazon.
Yeah, okay.
It's on like True Originals or something like that. Yeah. Anyways, James Marsden got an Emmy nomination for that.
For him.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently. That's what I saw.
Damn, he must be really good as himself.
He's pretty funny.
I like James Marsden.
After he got nominated, they're like, all right, green light Sonic 3. Do it.
Here we go. All right.
Absolutely, dude. Didn't you see the ending to Sonic 2?
I'm going to read one more before we get into the biggest chunk of news this week. I don't know how to say his first name. Miyazaki's new film in a decade. His first new film in a decade is called How Do You Live? It opens in Japan in less than 1 hour now at the time of reading this.
Jesus.
And there has been zero marketing for the film outside of this poster being released.
Pretty sick poster.
It is really cool looking.
Great poster.
But just like, why are they not marketing this
movie?
Well,
it was... it was his choice ultimately. And then he originally, I think like 2 weeks ago, he came back and he was like, I'm kind of nervous that we did that.
Okay, so he was like, that'll be sick.
But it was like a choice. It was like, we're just like so inundated with advertising, you know, just let the movie come out. I feel like if there's anyone that could do that, Miyazaki in Japan.
Right, yeah, that's fair. When do we have any information on when it'll be released in the US?
I think it's either December 1st or just sometime next year.
Mm, that's cool. I'll see it. Probably be sick.
Oh, yeah.
Be cool.
His last movie, The Wind Rises, that was supposed to be his. He said, this is my last movie. I'm retiring. Damn. That movie fucking rocked. And he's back for this now, so.
Who is the one that, who made the, it definitely wasn't Miyazaki. I think it was Studio Ghibli, though. They made, like, the Rocker movie, and it had Casey Musgraves in it.
Earwig and the Witch.
Yeah, and it was animated. Did you ever watch that?
Computer animated, no. I've been on a huge Ghibli kick the last, like, 9 months. I've watched most of them. Not going to watch that one.
Yeah, I remember everyone was pretty upset when they found out it was going to be, like,
Casey Musgraves is in it?
She does the American dub for one of the characters.
Pretty impressive cast on that one, but yeah, it looks like a CGI Ghibli movie.
Yeah,
in just kind of the worst ways.
Honestly, the Ghibli movies get A-listers for their English dubs. Yeah, Christian Bale plays Howl in Howl's Moving Castle.
That's interesting,
and he's good too.
He's really good.
Yeah,
damn.
Those are honestly like the only things that I'll watch the dub for instead of a sub for, just because it's like. Good actors. They have like in Ponyo, they had Elle Fanning and Dakota Fanning play the two sisters.
Yeah, love them. That is kind of cool. They like actually try to do something with that, because like, do you remember the Squid Game dub?
Oh, dude, no,
fucking terrible.
But also live action dubs in general are just so much worse. That's even true. Suspiria, dubbed in French, is awful. it's not even a dub; it's just ADR. But that's the native language that it was filmed in, and it's. Oh, it's so rough to get used to.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was it for the main big chunk of news this week.
Oh, wait, no, I think we announced it last week. But in case anybody forgot it, I'm playing Foxy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Five Nights at Freddy's. So if you guys want to check it out, I think it'd be really cool. Yeah, I did. I thought I was going to be in it way more, but it was mostly just Josh Hutcherson, which makes sense.
I was looking for you.
I didn't really get to meet him or anything, but... but yeah, trailer.
Well, you were doing
the
dub, obviously.
Well, yeah, I didn't talk. I didn't talk at all. They just had me get in the suit.
You're doing the dub or the puppeteering?
Neither. I'm in the suit.
You're in the suit.
Yeah, I'm in the suit. It's mostly in front of a green screen. But yeah, I saw the trailer. It looks great. I thought I was gonna. I wasn't in it as much as I thought I was gonna. But yeah, I'm Foxy in Five Nights at Freddy's. So that was the biggest news. But I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't seen the trailer for it yet, you should go watch it. Josh Hutcherson's in it.
Right.
It's about Five Nights at Freddy's, a video game that came out a few years ago.
Sick. But the other piece of news that I was going to bring up this week, SAG-AFTRA is officially on strike, folks. They greenlit it, and now they're on strike as of today. The Oppenheimer premiere was today, and Christopher Nolan came out on the red carpet to announce that all the actors had left.
Really?
Yep. That's sick. So sick. I want to read a couple. So there's a few different pieces to this whole story. Before SAG-AFTRA had officially announced that they had greenlit a strike, but they weren't on strike yet.
Yeah.
A couple of like studio execs had been. They were like being interviewed regarding the WGA strike, which, if you don't know what that is, that's the Writers Guild. They've been on strike for almost 2.5 months now. I think 2 months ish, somewhere right around there. In response to that strike, this is what one exec said. The end game is to allow things to drag on until union members start losing their apartments and losing their houses.
Nice.
it's a cruel but necessary evil.
Jesus Christ.
So they're basically just...
I just want to feed my child. They're like, you're being really fucking greedy. You know that, right?
They basically are saying, well, we're just going to wait out the writer's strike. And they're like, They'll eventually just have to deal with it.
That is fucked.
Now that the actors have all... So SAG-AFTRA is the Screen Actors Guild and the American Theater something Actors Guild. It's like screen... It's you know, movie stars and also like Broadway actors.
Mm-hmm. Improv kids and the movie stars.
Yeah, exactly. Unite. Yeah, exactly. They are now also on strike, marking the first time that both of these unions have been on strike at the same time in 60 years.
Theater kids... Assemble. Oh, fuck.
Bob Iger, who is the Disney CEO and earns $25 million a year, says actors and writers are not being realistic with their demands for fair compensation and working pages. He also just extended his contract to 2026 with his annual bonus potentially reaching five times its previous size.
Hey, Bob Iger, I got a headline for you. It's my balls, dude. Suck them.
Hey, Bob Iger, I got a headline for you. Kill yourself! They are on strike now. During this strike, members of SAG-AFTRA are not allowed to film any movie and TV production, take part in any press junket or film premieres, promote anything at Comic-Con. There's a bunch
Comic-Con
of other shit.
Comic-Con is dead.
Damn.
Yeah, they're fucked now. They basically can't do anything. They can't go on podcasts. They can't do social media if their presence on social media is to promote anything. They can't do voiceovers. They can't do, like... They can't do commentary. They literally cannot do anything. Mm-hmm. And if they do, they're going to get kicked out of SAG-AFTRA, basically.
Damn, nice.
Yeah. So, very sick.
That's sick.
It's going to be a god-awful year of entertainment.
Yeah, it is.
For the next
few
years.
It fucking has been since COVID anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, not terrible, but you get the point. Is there any more details about Christopher Nolan coming out on stage? Like, was he like, hey, everybody, great news? Or was he like...
No,
actors just left.
He's definitely in support. The thing is, though, is that he's part of the DGA.
I was going to ask about that too. Yeah.
I think the Directors Guild actually just came to an agreement. Because basically, the reason all this is kind of happening right now is that almost all of these unions' contracts just expired. So during the renegotiation process, that was when a lot of the drama popped up. So I think DGA union. Agreed to the term set, which a lot of people were kind of upset about, but it's like, well, I mean, if their union was fine with it, it's their union did their job then. Like, yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I feel like directors are not getting fucked over the same way that these other people are.
Yeah, not nearly as much. Mm-hmm. One of the big things for the SAG-AFTRA that is happening is that same thing, similar to the writers, it's a lot of it has to do with streaming. So they are losing a lot of like residuals because they basically get like a royalty check instead of repeat royalty checks because it's not like for an episode of Seinfeld airing on TV, all of those actors would get royalty checks for every time that episode re-airs. But if it's something streaming, you get a one-time payment for the license for that show to be shown on that streaming service rather than having it. And then I don't know if you guys have watched the new season of Black Mirror or not, but the other part of this is AI, where a lot of the... one of the things... There's an episode... So you haven't seen Black Mirror, right?
Mm-mm.
Have you seen the new season of Black Mirror?
I haven't seen any season.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's an episode called Joan is Awful. And the whole episode, this girl... It's about this lady named Joan, right? She has a terrible day at work. She has to fire this thing. And then she, like, one of her ex-boyfriends comes back into her life, blah, 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 right? She goes home. She's talking to her boyfriend. And they sit down to watch Netflix. They turn on Netflix, in-universe Netflix, which is called, like, Streamberry or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn it on. And this show pops up on her Netflix thing called Joan is Awful. And it's Salma Hayek. It's just her. But she looks exactly like the main actress. And she's like, it's like she's got, like, this, like, streak in her hair. And Salma Hayek just looks like that. And she's like, what the heck? And they start watching it, and it's just her exact day that we've just seen up to this point.
It's like me watching The Bear.
And they're like, what the fuck? Yeah, it's exactly like that. And then it goes, like, even deeper. Then on the second episode of Joan is Awful in the show, Salma Hayek is watching Netflix at home.
Oh, shit.
And she sees Cate Blanchett playing a version of her on the show. Anyways, long story short, you come to find out that Salma Hayek's not filming this show. Netflix or Streamberry has taken like an AI model of her face and she signed a contract that they can just use her likeness for anything, right? That was the plot of the Black Mirror episode.
That's kind of
that was included in what they wanted the Actors Guild to sign, was that they would be able to use renderings of them that they would get a one-time payout of that they could use at any point without consent if need be.
Dude.
That's fucked insane. Up. So to anyone out there who's saying to themselves, yeah, but like you're thinking to yourself, like, Tom Cruise is a millionaire. Who fucking cares, right? here's the thing. There's way more actors than just Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
none of them are as good as Tom, but there are a lot out there.
It's the same thing with people getting mad that NBA players get paid too much. If you're disgusted by how much money LeBron James makes,
wait till you find
out how much the owner of the Lakers makes. Yeah, he's not your enemy, folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
honestly, too, it's like, I think it's a good point, too, to be like, yeah, there's some actors who are above like the $500 million net worth or whatever, but also a part of this, and honestly, people who are probably experiencing that already, if you guys haven't been following it, is voice actors.
Right, exactly.
Dude, yep. The fucking AI voice acting technology is terrifying. Like, yep. It is crazy. Like, there's already all this kind of technology coming out where, like, people, like, especially in video games and shit like that, there's whole, like, modifications people have added to those games just using that, and it sounds identical.
Right.
Like, it's fucking crazy, and there's already been a lot of voice actors who are coming out and saying, like, do not do that shit. You have not paid me for this. Do not do that.
And I do it's think crazy. That video game voice actors are now allowed to be part of SAG-AFTRA, but I could be wrong.
Oh, really?
That's interesting. I think so, but I could be wrong.
It's weird that they're, like, differentiated differently. Like, if there's a voice actor in SAG-AFTRA, then why can't all voice actors be a part of that? You know what I mean?
Well, exactly, because the thing is that it's technically specifically for like,
just act like
screen actors.
Screen actors Guild, like SAG-AFTRA, those were two separate unions until like 1990 something, I think, and then they joined as one.
I guess that's a good point, because I guess typically in like bigger media, like movies especially, it's just screen actors doing voiceover work.
Yeah,
like the dubs you mentioned.
Movies have at least five or six different unions on them. So you've got IATSE, which is like the grips and shit like that. And then you've got the Directors Guild, the Writers Guild, the Actors Guild. So there's a bunch of different unions. So, anyways, in support of the union, you know, us at Monolith, we think it's super important. So this episode is over. I'm just kidding.
Fuck it. I'm crossing the pillow.
Fuck it. Call us scab.
Call me a scab. Fuck.
But yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah, seriously.
Good luck to them.
Yeah, thank God the Screen Actors Guild went on strike like close-ish to
because what that exec said about basically waiting out the writers, I think they could get away with that with the writers because these writers are not making that much money.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet today. They're like, I got one check for She-Hulk from like residuals. She-Hulk, the Disney Plus show that Bob Iger made, $300.
Yep.
That was the
one-time payment.
One-time payment.
Because it's a streaming
$300.
That is fucking crazy.
And then, on top of that, there's another writer who, I can't remember what show he wrote. It was like a weird, I don't think very many people saw it, but regardless, like, it got nominated for Emmys for like whatever specific category it was in.
Mm-hmm.
Disney Plus didn't want to pay the residuals on it, so they just took it off of Disney Plus. So now, he gets no royalties on it anymore, and it's impossible to watch it. Because it's their content, and they just have taken it off their platform.
And they probably got a tax write-off for that.
Yep,
that's fucking crazy.
So
fuck Disney.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Hopefully, if they didn't before now, that a lot of people are going to recognize the importance that writing has
In
this kind of entertainment.
The news industry sure isn't helping anything. For example, today, someone was interviewing Matt Damon at the Oppenheimer thing, and he was like, yeah, it's like terrible. Like, I totally support them. And Deadline just like twisted it into like, oh yeah, I can't get any work done.
Like, what the fuck?
Exactly. It's like you have
to
watch
the video to actually understand
what
his view is. Yeah, it's fucked. And there's so many examples of that too. So bad.
And that's what they do with every strike. Like with the UPS. UPS is going on strike soon. When the Biden administration stepped in to prevent the railroad companies from going on strike, the railroad workers.
Wow.
And then a year later, the fucking thing happened in East Palestine, Ohio, where the train derailed. It's like, this is exactly part of the shit that they were trying to go on strike for, was like these safety regulations.
Yo, like, that's fucking crazy.
And the Biden administration stepped in to stop the strike from happening because it would have disrupted too much economic like activity. And it's like, that's the point of a strike.
The idea of like a presidential cabinet stepping in to stop workers from like demanding better
Remember when
Trump would environment never. For them? That Remember is during fucking all the, scary, dude.
During all the George Floyd stuff, the NBA players, a lot of them were going to go on a labor strike also. They were basically like...
I remember that.
And Obama called LeBron James to basically be like, yeah, dude, you can't do that.
That is fucking scary, dude.
It's fucking
dude.
Terrible. It's oh my terrible, God. Terrible, terrible.
It is also really crazy because I guess like my exposure to it has been just like... people who are like obviously so fucking on board with it. My parents know about it and they're like, yeah, fuck that, right? Mm-hmm. But it is crazy to me to be on the other side of this. Like, it's I don't mean to bring it back to the Twitter negativity again, but like, it is crazy reading the replies to this. Like, so many people who are verified, I guess, I don't know what that means anymore,
because they paid $8.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like so many of these comments are like, new actors then, where are you at? And one of them's like, why do these guys gotta ruin everything for everybody? I was like, how the fuck is that your opinion on this, dude? Do you have fucking more than three brain cells in your head?
That being said, crazy. If you've been trying to become an actor,
now's the time. Over.
Yeah. Cross get in the picket lines. Be like, you can use my likeness for whatever.
Yeah.
I love AI. I hated Dead Reckoning Part 1.
God.
Perfect segue, Ethan. Thank you so much. Oh, not that one.
Nope.
Not Jesus. That one. Fuck!
Mission accomplished!
All right.
That's the one you meant to hit?
Nah, just any of them.
Oh, okay. All right.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it.
There we go. whew. We also watched Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 this week, folks. Finally.
Thank God you guys got those press passes so I could watch it early, too.
I know, for real.
For real, for real.
I just watched a YouTube video that was talking about the, production problems that this movie has gone through. Ooh. For like the last
it was supposed to come
years.
Out 3 years ago.
Insane.
Part 2 was supposed to come out last year, and it's not even done being written. The writer's strike paused it, so I bet Tom Cruise is like, fuck the writer's strike.
Well, yeah, I mean, we not to go back to that, but already a bunch of productions had to end today. Gladiator 2, they were like, all right,
damn,
go home everybody.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy,
we're
bro.
Done. Crazy shit.
That is so crazy.
But yes, Dead Reckoning Part 1, it did come out. We finally got to see it. I don't know. I've got a lot of thoughts. I don't even know where to begin. Let's start with the fact that we definitely have been talking. This podcast is about 3 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way we haven't been talking about Dead Reckoning. Huh?
Never mind.
I feel like one of the first news stories was Tom Cruise being like, wear a fucking mask. Like,
yep.
That whole audio thing that leaked.
I was talking to Isaac about that when we watched it. About remember, or maybe I talked to one of you guys about it. Just about like remembering that audio leak of Tom Cruise being like,
yelling at everybody.
Mask? Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the things I saw in that video was just like, I was like, holy fuck. Yeah. I remember that. I do remember that. Like, and, you know, still mixed feelings on that. But overall, I'm like, yeah, I think I get it. You know,
yeah.
The dude just loves the movies.
Movies, popcorn.
I love my popcorn. Movies, popcorn.
I love wine and popcorn.
So finally getting to see this movie, I feel like was just like, holy shit. Like, especially considering the fact that just remembering how long ago we actually saw Fallout in theaters.
That was way before a pandemic.
I was thinking about it
that was 2 years.
When we were recording the Mission Impossible episode last week, I was like, maybe we already did this because we must have done an episode for Fallout. And then I was like, that was 2 years before the podcast even became a thing.
That was closer to us graduating high school than it is to us now.
Yeah, dude. I was 20 years old. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That was 20 years ago. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
I can't believe that was 20 fucking years ago.
You can't fight the friction.
Tom Cruise does look like he aged like it was 20 years ago.
Dude, I do agree with that because like it's definitely way more noticeable in like his face this time around. But if anything, I almost felt like that made his athleticism even more impressive. Mm-hmm. He is still so fucking athletic, dude. It's fucking crazy.
He's running pretty fast.
He does run fast. You know what he's probably running to? He's probably running to the set to make sure he's still making a damn good movie because that's what he cares about. He absolutely cares about making a good movie, and that about him.
Dude loves
movies. He's running to his third colonoscopy, actually.
Does he had two colonoscopies?
He's old as fuck, dude.
Dude, that's how you keep those. You keep the pipes clean. You keep the running fast. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's running to the Depends aisle.
But this is the second Mission Impossible movie I've seen in a theater, and he also did it for Top Gun. So I guess it's the third time I've seen him do his little shtick, where basically he doesn't really show previews; he just does behind the scenes of the movie he just made, and
that
then
you're about to watch.
Yeah, you're about to watch, and then he ends it by very sincerely thanking you for like being in the theater. And I think that's a lot of fun. Tom Cruise has a lot of enthusiasm for making good movies, and you can really feel that he wants to make a blockbuster, dude. And I love it.
That whole thing is cool. For Dead Reckoning, it was a little silly because our screening, I think it's because we saw it early, but our screening was like
three of those.
It was it was a behind the scenes thing, which was like sick. They didn't show the motorcycle stunt thing, which is like should have shown the motorcycle stunt thing, right. But the Rome thing was cool. But then they're just like, All right. And then we went to fucking Abu Dhabi, and and the crowd loved it. We premiered the movie and they loved it. And then we went to Rome and they fucking loved it.
They were
look how excited they are to see this movie.
Yeah, it was like footage of the press release for the movie. Yeah. Rather than the actual stuff.
It's like on Cake Boss when he goes and gives him the cake and then he does his little confessional. He's like, they loved it. They went ballistic for this cake. Like, they just, that part was very, and it was pretty funny too. You could tell the audience was getting a little over it too. Like,
people were laughing.
Yeah, I was laughing my ass
like,
off, dude.
Fade to black and then it fade up in Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie and be like, oh, like, I play the movie.
Norway, 2015.
Yeah. But also, Ethan, I'm sure you've seen it. Have you seen him on Twitter, like during the interview when somebody asked him like if he's going to see Barbie and Oppenheimer? I really like it. He goes on a little too long, but basically all he says is like, I'm the same day. I'm gonna go see Oppenheimer first.
Should I try and find Barbie the clip?
And
What are they calling it? Barbenheimer? I'll be there. And then Letterboxd is interviewing him. He's like, Letterboxd. I haven't heard of it yet. I don't know what Letterboxd is.
He said that.
I have to watch this. Just one last quick question. Sure, there's so many amazing movies and cinemas. Are you gonna watch Barbie or Oppenheimer first?
Oh yeah. No.
If you had to choose one, because there's a bit of a debate.
No. What's great is you're gonna see both on the weekend. I think it's like, you know. I haven't quite decided. It'll probably be like Oppenheimer first and then Barbie, I think. I think it's like Oppenheimer's going to be on a Friday. Do you know what I mean? And then you can go, I'll probably see it in the afternoon. You want that packed audience. And then I want to see Barbie right afterwards with a packed audience.
Dude, he's just so Friday like, for is real. Like,
you know, I used to plan my days where you'd start out early in the morning and you go to movies all day. And I like doing that. You know, and I'd go from one cinema to the next, and I'm going to do that.
He's just so enthusiastic, dude.
He's pretending like
he's opening day.
Pretending like he didn't throw such a fit about Oppenheimer taking the
I know, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a great point.
I love Oppenheimer. Yeah. Which is funny, because Christopher Nolan recently was also like, I can't believe Warner Brothers is releasing Barbie on the same day as this. What the fuck?
And he's got beef with Warner Brothers, because isn't this like...
They used to put out all of his movies, and recently they like gave him a big check for Tenet to try to be like, come on, just come back to us. Because Oppenheimer's Universal, I think. But then they did this, and he's like, I'm not coming back to Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
this
fuck you guys.
Damn.
Oppenheimer's set to make a little bit more money because Barbie's premiering the same day.
I agree. I think that Barbenheimer, as much as I think it started out as kind of funny, and now it's annoying just because every fucking tweet is just bots replying with where you can get a Barbenheimer t-shirt now. It's very annoying. But like... I agree. I think that Christopher Nolan should be thanking his stars that fucking Barbie is coming out the same. It's an event. Like, and someone else pointed something out. They were like, can you imagine if Twitter had been around in 1982 because The Thing and Blade Runner came out the same day?
Whoa. That's
and someone
crazy.
Was like, can you imagine The Thing Runner jokes? Like, that would have been so sick.
Plus, those two are like, Oppenheimer and Barbie aren't competing. Like, Oppenheimer is a R-rated adult political
biopic, basically.
Biopic. Yeah. Barbie is the opposite.
Family,
yeah.
If it was Dead Reckoning versus Oppenheimer, it'd make more sense. But Barbenheimer's like, this is good for both of you.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So I think it's really cool. Anyway, sorry, what were you saying about Tom Cruise?
I just wanted to bring up that video because I think it's funny. You know he's going to down a whole fucking bucket of large popcorn for both of those movies.
Popcorn.
Movies, never popcorn. Gets old.
I love my popcorn. Movies, popcorn.
Where was that filmed?
It's definitely
filmed under a highway.
It's in his basement or something, dude.
It's so loud.
It reminds me of your parents' basement when we used to watch movies down there.
It's so noisy.
Yeah, dude, there's a cat walking around.
But Dead Reckoning. Okay, we finally got to see it, right? Opening scene of Dead Reckoning. We're not going to summarize the whole movie, but
are we going into spoilers at any point or no?
Yeah, full blown spoiler alert
right
folks.
Now.
From here on out,
give a little like
we can
summary.
Do. You guys want to do summary thoughts before we
it's
dive into spoilers?
The people who haven't seen it already turned it off.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. They're gone.
The noise has already played. Spoiler alert from here on out. Honestly, I think if you're not seeing Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 opening weekend, you're probably not that worried about spoilers.
Spoilers, you've seen the motorcycle jump.
Yeah,
in the behind the scenes.
I mean,
the movie is spoiled.
The spoilers
it's not
are
the
story.
Stunts. Is the
yeah?
There's like one character death that I could be like, I guess that's a spoiler. But even then, if I knew that going in, I'd be like, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So
good point.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Opening, as far as openings go, I would say it's pretty weak.
Yeah, I agree.
The whole the submarine. Hunt for Red October part.
Yeah.
The whole time I was like, which stunt is going to open this movie? Which stunt? And then it's just 15 minutes of not Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time like trying to figure out how I feel about it after seeing it. Because honestly, while I was watching it, the first 20 minutes of this movie, I was like, the vibes are not good right now, dude.
It's weirding me out.
It gets a lot better, but like, pretty much the whole time until he takes off his mask in the fucking meeting room with the director of intelligence, was I like, this feels like weird. Way too serious. Yeah. I can't tell. Because, Fallout opens with, a fucking sweet, fast-paced, action scene, right? Like, this spy noir sort of feeling. Mm-hmm. Fucking 5 opens with the plane stunt, right? And then this one's, really serious. I don't know how to explain it. I thought the vibes were kind of off at first, but it gets a lot better.
I agree. But that reminds me. I saw No Hard Feelings last night, and that's exactly how the first 20 minutes of that were. I was like,
it was a submarine, really, and they're launching a nuclear attack.
Yeah. It wasn't the same opening,
this
but 20, the vibes.
This 39-year-old is about to fuck a 19-year-old.
She's 32, and he's 19. Get it right.
That is it's funny you brought up the stunt thing, though, Ethan, because I totally thought that's how the direction of that was going to go, at least a little bit. When they're having that fight with the ghost submarine and the thing came around, I was like, where's Ethan Hunt? Where is he? He's on the torpedo. I totally thought it was going to be like, oh, some gotcha moment, but it was actually like this. Yeesh, those guys died.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal.
Honestly, what I was kind of hoping from that scene, it was cool. Like, once I knew it was trickery, what I thought it was going to be was that, the ships that they were by were just fucking with them so that they could detect them. It'd be like, oh, found you. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, I don't know.
Still don't really understand it.
Because it was by the entity.
AI was fucking with them?
I'm going to sink myself.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know. I don't really get that.
I don't know.
The MI movies are not for the story.
By the way, for the record, if I had heard before we watched it that, the next Mission Impossible movie is going to be about AI, I would have been like, that's so fucking dumb.
I would have been like,
you didn't know that.
Oh, no. No.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Shut the fuck.
Shit, I didn't know that.
I'm on the hype train, though, obviously.
Well, no,
I'm wearing a Mission Impossible 2 hat for the listeners, for the non-YouTubers.
Yeah. And after watching it, I do like it. I think they did actually a really good job with it. Because they didn't do, this.
It's timely.
It doesn't, exactly. But in a genuine way. It doesn't feel like an old man who doesn't understand technology was writing some scary AI thing. They're using things that AI is actually doing now. That's genuinely frightening. The whole time it's, imitating Benji, I'm like, this is fucking freaky. Yeah, that part freaky. Was
fun. And I also appreciated the fact that it wasn't, most interpretations of AI gone rogue in movies, I think, are AIs created with the best of intentions.
Yeah.
But this one was it was a weapon. It was never not an evil algorithm thing.
It's a good
whatever.
Way to put it.
So I feel like I like that. It made it a lot more believable that a fucking Department of Defense AI that they built specifically for this purpose going rogue makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
and I liked that part of it a lot, actually.
Yeah, I like that too. I also do like how they didn't really try to make the U.S. look really heroic, which I like. I thought that was really cool.
The U.S. was the bad guys.
Yeah,
they were constantly any nation that gets this, we can't let that happen. Yeah. We can't let any nation get this.
Exactly.
And it made sense for him to go rogue because it's okay, well, yeah, as you would.
I saw someone's tweet that I was curious what you guys would think. They were saying, it's crazy that Dead Reckoning is literally about Tom Cruise killing God. they said that, okay, this AI is this all-powerful being, right, who his human apprentice is named Gabriel, which has some biblical reference, I guess, and the key to unlock it is a cross.
True.
And all this other stuff. I was like, damn, that's crazy. Tom Cruise is finally
he didn't
all
kill
right.
God yet. We got a part two.
That's true.
That's true.
Speaking of.
He hasn't crucified the AI yet.
Crucified? AI. Oh, I thought you were. You said crucified.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, they said crucified. See, I thought you said crucified at first. I thought you said crucified at first, and I was like, oh, that's funny.
I should have said Tom crucified.
Yeah.
That would have been sick.
Yeah.
Dude, I was crucified.
A great joke just fumbled right there.
Yeah, yeah, really. Yeah.
That, I'll call the episode crucified.
That's a.
That's the crucifixion.
Crucifixion.
Can't fight the crucifixion.
What? That's a mouthful.
It's a working
title. It's great.
Yeah. It's a working title.
Now we're working on it. Let us know in the comments what we should name this episode.
Let us know what we should have named this episode. Yeah.
Speaking of things to come in part two, what did you guys think of all the flashback stuff with Gabriel?
I love it because
today on the record, Christopher McQuarrie was like, we really fucked around with de-aging Tom Cruise, but then we decided, let's just not show his face. See, it's just too distracting.
Yeah. I'm glad they didn't.
Me too. I didn't either.
But I'm still down on the flashbacks thing in general, because there's literally no reason for that.
The reason I'm kind of on board with it, but the reason I'm feeling that way is because I don't feel like they're just doing it to, like, put a villain in this movie. I feel like they're doing it because they know they're leading up to the last bit of it, and they want
to add they want to. I think they're writing themselves into a corner.
Well, now they can't write because of the strike.
They can't write.
Exactly.
They were writing themselves into a corner, and now they can't even write themselves into a corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that that was, like, a thing where they're like, we'll figure this out later. But it was cool. It's cool to go back to the pre-Brian De Palma days.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of Dutch shots.
That was honestly my biggest critique of this one, was that all of the new lore building, I just was like, why are we doing this? Like,
it is kind of weird because there's never been an implication beforehand that Tom Cruise did something bad before he joined the
IMF. Now all of a sudden the IMF is like a band of misfits. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy now. Like, you got to be like some fucking, you can either go to death penalty or you can go to the IMF. Like,
Plus, the very first movie, it starts out with them like around the table and they're all joking around and stuff. He's like, oh, I'm not having, I'll have coffee as long as Claire's not making it. That's my wife.
Exactly. It just doesn't make, it wasn't like enough for me to be like, fuck this. Like, I was just like, all right, whatever. I don't need this. Like, it was just an unnecessary
addition. I don't hate it. I don't love it.
Honestly, I would like it a lot more if the girl who gets shot wasn't so terrible at acting.
I don't remember. I didn't notice. Did she say a word?
She doesn't say a word, but she's just like, like, I was just like, I don't know.
You had AI do that, dude.
Yeah, that's true. No wonder. It was her AI. I just could have been Gabriel. There's no reason to me for Tom Cruise, for Ethan Hunt to have like a connection to Gabriel. Because it's not like at any other point, it would have made perfect sense for him to just be like, that's the whole thing with Ethan Hunt's character, is that he just loves his fucking friends so much. So it's like, it's almost better when the villain, he's just like, no, man, I don't care. I don't want to hear your manifesto. You fuck with my friends, you're done. Like, and I don't know. I just think that
Gabriel should be an old friend of his. That.
Oh, shit. That would really twist the knife.
We used to be friends.
They should have had it be Benji as the bad guy.
For real? Because
he's like techie. He's like a tech head and everything.
Yeah, and the AI is like talking to him, seducing him.
Mm-hmm. He's like, he's right, Ethan. I don't know if that's...
Well, if anything, Luther would be the... Luther's
true,
the tech guy.
That's true, Luther. They should have had Jeremy Renner come back as the bad guy.
Oh, shit.
As the bad guy? That'd be sick. Now, I do love... Because, like, AI is a good villain, but these movies thrive when he can fight the bad guy. Henry Cavill. I mean, he wasn't even the main bad guy. But, yeah, we need... With the level of fight scenes we're working with, where they're just so excellent, we need a bad guy that can fisticuffs on top of a train.
See, and that's why I'm personally hoping... I was telling Ethan this on the car ride home from the movies. I'm hoping for Dead Reckoning Part 2 to really lean into the goofiness of it. I want... Remember when they wake Gabriel up on the train? He's in that case, and they like... They let him out, and he's got like that Mortal Kombat-esque looking mask AI on. It's got like... I want in the next movie, I want that shit to embody him like Ultron.
Damn.
Some cyberpunk.
I was about to say, I want to see Tom Cruise fight a robot in this next movie.
Like a cyborg Gabriel entity? That'd be pretty
interesting.
Because that's how he's going to have to blow himself up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the movie's not even written yet, so hope Christopher McQuarrie's listening.
Dude,
they got 40% done with the script for Dead Reckoning 2 before the writer's strike. Where were you going with this? They've been working on this movie for 2 years. They writ 40% of it.
See, what's the most hilarious part to me is I'm like, you guys were planning on having the second movie out last year. What do you mean the script's not done? What are you talking about?
And so they said like,
it's
fucking
annoying.
They're planning on it coming out next year, right?
Yeah. Originally, well, I mean, as of right now, it's not going to happen.
I don't even think it's a problem.
I wonder if Tom Cruise is part of the Screen Actors Guild. I don't even know.
I think he is. He's an American actor, right?
But part of me is like, there's no way he's not working on Mission Impossible right now.
He can...
Or Top Gun 3.
Him and Christopher McQuarrie can...
They're like, we're just hanging out.
Yeah, they can...
We're not writing anything.
They can't...
We're just buds.
What do you mean writing?
We're just best buddies. Writing. We're just watching movies.
Like, for
movies,
example, popcorn. Writers are allowed to write. They're not allowed to write in a creative capacity in the sense that they're...
Like getting doing it for a
studio,
right?
Or something.
So yeah. Tom Cruise can be writing shit at home all he fucking wants. So they
honestly
better.
That might do them good. Just exactly. Be like, we just got to sit in this.
We've got nothing else
mansion.
To do. Yeah. We've got literally nothing else
Let's,
to
like,
do right
crank
now.
Crank out like a sensical story, like with emotional beats.
Tom Cruise, like, this isn't my first rodeo during a quarantine.
Yeah. So for real. But like, maybe, right, and maybe to like wind this back a little bit too, just to like,
yeah, we got a bit off the get a bit
like
track.
The start of this movie is
and
submarines.
Then anyway, I don't really like I said, we've already dove into spoilers, so at this point I'm assuming if you're listening you know what the hell we're talking about.
And honestly, it doesn't matter if you haven't seen the movie.
That's
it,
true.
Really doesn't.
It really doesn't.
They give away all the best stunts in the endless behind the scenes featurettes they've been posting to YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, that isn't my second critique about the movie, is it's got the least amount of stunts of any of these movies.
Yeah, the least amount of
I think so.
IMAX stuff. Like the whole Rome thing is really cool, but it's like, this isn't like, I mean, he's doing all of it. He's driving all of it. That's mm-hmm. really cool. But mm-hmm. it's not like, oh my God, he's about to jump out of a plane. The
no,
screen's
it's just
getting
like,
bigger.
Okay, right. A car chase.
Yeah, and then later in Rome, a foot chase, and like a fisticuff scene. It's a little underwhelming compared to Fallout in those senses, for sure.
I feel like it, I don't think it's as good as Fallout, but I think it keeps up with it just in the sense of like, just like the, like how good the action is in the movie. Like I like how they put like kind of stuntman spins on it. Like I do like how when he's driving that little fucking Fiat, his hand is actually bound. Like
hand
I think that's kind of
yeah,
cool.
He's doing that with one hand.
Cause it makes it more impressive that he is like actually fucking like, he's like, he could easily lose control of this car.
I think you were in the bathroom when we were talking about this, but I was saying that Christopher McQuarrie was back on his horn dog shit for that scene. Cause I don't know about you, but I was getting big. I don't know. What's that actress's name?
Haley Atwell.
I was getting big. Oh, you came already? Like, it's okay.
I think that's what it was supposed to be, yeah.
I was, like, getting flustered. I was like, jeez. Like,
jeez,
what is happening on? My biscuit? Nah, we made that joke.
It was funny, though.
It is not limp.
But there was, like, a lot of that stuff for me in the movie that I was like, jeez, man, that guy's on one right now.
Are you pissed?
No, not at all.
Tom Cruise doesn't know what sex is, but Christopher McQuarrie is horny. Christopher McQuarrie is horny. And Tom Cruise is like, what is this joke? And he's like, just trust me.
Don't worry about it, dude. Don't worry about it. I think another thing is, like, remember in Jackass how they talk about how some stunts...
Which is the cinematic parallel to Tom Cruise.
Naturally.
Literally, honestly.
They're bunch actually, of stuntmen.
For real. I agree.
It's just a low-budget Mission Impossible.
And I think it is a good comparison in the sense that, like, remember in the... I think it's in 2.5 or 3.5 when they talk about how there's some stunts that just don't make it because... They just don't look good on camera. And it's the one where they run into the tree with the board.
Yeah.
And they talk about and they get how really much hurt. It fucking hurts, but watching it, it just doesn't. Yeah. And I, that's how I felt about the motorcycle jump with this one. Like, it's cool, but it's like, I feel like you really have to appreciate how scary it is because visually it's not that crazy.
It's like the underwater scene in Rogue Nation.
Exactly.
Where it's like, okay, you did it. It's really cool. But, like, they're CGI still, and you keep cutting away from it, and mm-hmm. it's like...
And that's why I didn't like the train, either. Because yeah. I didn't even know until you told me that they...
That's practical.
That's a practical effect of them, and I was like, man, it's, like, muddied in so much CGI additional stuff that I just... I don't get why they did that, like...
Mm-hmm. I think that's why they push the behind-the-scenes stuff so hard, because they're like...
So you know.
They're not going to know unless we tell them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That
that's
it's real.
That's a good point. But the motorcycle part was when it, for me, what got me in the stomach, like what made my like stomach kind of jump to my neck at that stunt was how much longer he falls for than I was expecting.
Yeah,
I was like,
especially the cut where it's like silent, silent, silent. And then all of a sudden he's just like, and he's just like falling there. And Benji's like, what's going on? He's like, I'm flying towards the train.
Yeah, that was sick. Cool. Yeah. That was
and also just him riding around. Dude, the fucking part where he comes up on the edge of the mountain in the dirt bike, that shit is fucking
looks
scary.
Looks over.
Yeah.
It's a cliff.
I hate
Daredevil,
that.
Bro.
I hate that shit.
Daredevil, dude.
Makes my stomach like turn a little bit.
I do it.
You would do it?
I could do it. I have my motorcycle license. I could
Ooh,
do it.
That's
you
true.
Could do
you
it.
Do have your motorcycle
I've
license.
I've skydived before. Oh
that
my
is
God.
Fucking
today,
crazy to me.
I learned today that he skydived He drove a motorcycle off of like a ramp 5,000 times, skydived 13,000 times, all in like less than a year, to figure out like all the mechanics of how that stunt was gonna like how they could pull it off on
Jesus
a real cliff.
Fucking Christ, dude.
He's 60 years old.
He's unstoppable.
I don't like going on the rocket at Lagoon.
I never have and never will go on the rocket at Lagoon.
You've never been on the rocket?
Fuck no. I never will.
Well, if you've got $300 laying around, you can go and do it.
Is that how much it costs?
It's just so fucking ridiculous to go to Lagoon nowadays.
Before we get on,
don't even get us started on Lagoon.
What do you guys think about Rebecca Ferguson dying and Hayley Atwell being the new...
Stupid.
New cruise girl.
Here's the thing. We were watching Fallout, right? And everyone was talking about Rebecca Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful woman, right?
Beautiful woman.
Someone made the statement she's top 10 most beautiful women in the world.
Who? Like, who?
Name drop, huh?
It was one. I was like, whoa. That's a big statement. She's beautiful. Don't get me wrong.
Good looking woman.
Dune mommy.
So, but in terms of, I think it just depends for me. Ilsa Faust as a character has never been like that exciting to me, just because her character arc is the exact same in every movie, where she's like, sorry, Ethan, nothing personal.
Well, she's just like Ethan. She's always going rogue.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And she's got her reasons.
I don't believe she's dead.
I don't either.
Definitely not.
I don't either.
Definitely
yeah.
fucking not.
Because they cut away. Plus, they faked her death earlier in the movie.
Yeah, they did a fake out
of her
specifically.
I think Ethan knew that was going to happen. They don't even show him.
He had a crush on Hayley Atwell. And
yeah.
he was like,
I just don't know.
It's going to show. And go undercover. In part two, it's going to do a flashback of that scene where he finds Rebecca Ferguson on the stairs. And then he's going to look around and make sure Gabriel is around. And he's going to take off the mask. And it's going to be the blonde girl.
But she's in the movie later.
She also has a mask on.
Yeah, it's Ilsa Faust. And that's why Hayley Atwell has to come and pretend to be Ilsa Faust, pretending to be layers.
Yeah.
Layers. It's like when Philip Seymour Hoffman has to act as Tom Cruise, acting as him in the bathroom.
But, okay. Then
in the Vatican.
How did Ethan Hunt convince?
Well, that's not really him. It's Benji under that mask.
Oh,
he was Ethan under Ilsa Faust mask the whole time.
Gotcha. Hey, everybody. That Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2 script is now 50% done. Thanks to us.
You're welcome, Chris.
I saw a funny tweet that was like, Mission Impossible has been doing the face mask bit for 25 years, and it never gets old. It still surprises me. Even when I know it's going to happen. Like, at the beginning of this movie, I'm like, when this weird guy walked into the room, I'm like, that is... obviously, Ethan Hunt. Like,
you're way ahead
guy?
Of me. I was like, this guy's ugly.
The whole time I was like, why is this guy acting so evil? And the whole time the people were like, no, this guy is fucking unstoppable.
It is kind of crazy that scary. Ethan Hunt fucking gassed a room of very high-ranking U.S. politicians.
That shit was loud as hell.
That shit, yeah.
When he threw the green goblin bombs at him or whatever.
Hopefully no PTSD vets bombs. Were in the room, because they would have had an episode.
If you're a PTSD vet, why are you going to see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning in IMAX? That's on you, bro.
Victim blaming PST.
PTSD vets. But yeah, Rebecca Ferguson getting murked or whatever, I was like, if she really is dead, I'm going to be like, damn, that's kind of a fucked up send off, disrespectful wise, for them to just be like, yeah, she's dead.
Yeah.
She's been here 3 movies, longer than any other woman has in the Mission Impossible franchise. And this younger brunette comes along, so.
She's actually older.
Dead. Is she really?
She is.
Hayley Atwell is older.
Hayley Atwell is 2 years older than Rebecca Ferguson.
Really?
Yeah, I looked it up beforehand because I was like, I thought she was like 32. She's 41.
Okay, honestly, that makes the
quote-unquote
age gap not nearly as bad.
I agree.
It does make it worse in the fact that they're either we're telling on ourselves or this was Christopher McQuarrie's intention.
I'm not telling on myself.
It is bad in the sense of like, well, Rebecca Ferguson just aged worse or looks older.
Good point.
So they're like, well, you got to get her out.
I am not going on the record agreeing with that. I'm not going on the record.
I'm not saying she looks worse, but I definitely thought that this other lady, Hayley Atwell, was younger. I thought she was like...
I just assumed she was because she didn't get killed off, I guess.
Yeah. And she's very beautiful to me. I don't think that she is. I don't think that...
Honestly, I kind of wish someone else was cast. Tom Cruise is so, like, anti-MCU. And then you brought this MCU person.
Who the hell is she in MCU?
Peggy Carter.
She's Mrs. Captain America.
Damn, that's the same person.
Yurt.
Oh, she looks
so good.
Agent Carter.
She looks so good. She got her own TV show.
She looks
pretty sure.
No, yeah, 1920s her.
Dude.
Not boo. I'm not like saying she's mid, but just
For the podcast listeners, Isaac put a thumbs down in the air.
Speaking of which, have you seen the Twitter discourse people saying Margot Robbie's mid? Nonsense.
I gotta get off Twitter, dude. It makes me feel terrible every time I'm on it.
It's gotta be just
Either of you on Threads?
No, not yet.
Yeah, fuck that.
I heard that it's just broken and like shitty, and everyone's just like, so what's everyone's favorite ice cream? And I just am like, I'm not interested in that.
I'll stay on Twitter until that shit shuts down.
Yeah,
I'll
exactly. But yeah, so I don't know. I liked her character though.
I liked Hayley Atwell. I thought she was cool.
Apparently,
the only thing
Grace, sorry, go ahead. Right?
Apparently, she Grace. Just has like hella, like insane chemistry with Tom Cruise IRL, and so
it seemed like it.
And so he was like, "Okay, you can be a movie." I don't know. I'm so bummed. Ilsa Faust is dead.
Honestly,
she was cool. I liked her Virga Ferguson. I would have preferred she stayed alive.
I would have loved Paris
Hilton.
I would have loved Paris Hilton be in this movie.
I would have.
No. Oh, my God. Who's Mantis?
What? Who's Mantis?
That's a bug. Oh, Pom Klementoff.
And her name,
her name is Paris.
Her character's name is Paris.
Why are you calling her Mantis?
She's Mantis in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mantis Toboggan?
Who? Remember Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, shit. That's her?
Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. She was great, too.
She was way better in Mission Impossible.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I looked it up, and I was like, this girl kind of looks like Mantis. And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, thank God. I hope she got killed off in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, because I hope she's done with those movies.
There's no way for us to know.
Yeah, she was cool. I really, I'm pretty, well, hopefully, I don't know, maybe she'll come back, too. I mean, fucking, like, 3 or 4 people dying.
Christopher McQuarrie did say on the record recently, sorry, I'm plugged into this. The reason I'm on this episode is because I fucking love Mission Impossible more than anything.
I'm
wearing a hat right now.
The rarest one.
The rarest hat.
If we want to add that detail on there, it's the MI2 hat.
Go watch my YouTube video about where I break down the rarity of Mission Impossible hats. Just kidding.
I'd watch that.
I forgot what I was even saying. Oh, Christopher McQuarrie. No, I forgot what I was saying. He said something about
she was locked in for the sec if she's going to come back.
Oh, no. He said recently he's like, or maybe it wasn't recently, but at some point, maybe it was during COVID, he was like, basically he said, if they've died or if they haven't died, anybody could be coming back in a Mission Impossible at this point.
No one has actually ever died in a Mission Impossible.
We're getting into Fast and Furious territory.
Absolutely.
Villains can become friends. Friends become villains. Dead become alive.
Yep.
Kind of dumb, but.
Resurrection.
Better than Fast and Furious.
What about it?
This movie's about resurrection and crucifixion.
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 Resurrection.
And resurrection.
Resurrection.
I know.
Riz's erection.
I don't want to get through this without saying something about the fighting choreography in this movie, because there's some fucking sick sword fights and knife fights in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's a really cool narrow alley fight fisticuff scene with Tom Cruise and Mantis, who plays Paris, and some unnamed schmuck. Yeah, some schmuck. But like, dude, that scene is fucking great. Like how brutal that shit is. Like how he's like slamming people's heads against the brick.
He keeps trying to get over the fence and they just keep pulling back down.
It's like, oh man, it's so well done.
One of the best uses of like shaky handheld cam footage of like being like,
if you're gonna put shaky cam Born Identity shit in a movie, it better be in a tiny little alleyway.
Exactly, because it's like shaky cam, not because they're running. It's shaky cam because they're fucking hitting the walls and shit. They don't have room for that camera in there.
Yeah, exactly.
So good.
Yeah, I loved it. And then, in Rome, there's a sword fight between Ilsa Faust and Gerald. What's his fucking name?
Gabriel.
Geralt of Rivia. And Ilsa Faust has like a sword and he's got like 2 knives. And also fucking Grace has 2 knives at one point. There's a lot of knife fights in this movie. I love a good knife fight.
Yeah.
Love a good knife v sword fight.
For real.
Ooh, what did you think about the scene in Abu Dhabi where it's like the sandstorm? That was very John Wick-esque to me.
To me, it felt like that Call of Duty map.
Metal Gear-esque, Uncharted-esque.
Honestly, the only time that this movie felt like a money laundering scheme was when they were in Denmark or whatever at the very beginning. They were in Amsterdam. The movie starts, the first time we see Tom Cruise is in Amsterdam. He's inside a building. We see zero establishing shots outside and he gets DoorDash, and that's how he gets his mission delivered.
That part is
terrible.
And he's talking the new recruit through. Hey. I thought the guy was going to come back because of how that his friend. I was like, this guy's coming back.
Welcome to the IMF. He's like, never see him again.
He's like this quirky little new hire.
I'm glad you chose to accept.
That part was... And then from there, he's never in Amsterdam again. And I was like, why did they even tell us
also,
he was in Amsterdam?
Also, they've been so much less conspicuous and more convenient with delivering the message than that before. They're like, all right, well, sometimes we just have you pick up like a payphone. And sometimes...
Sometimes we get a helicopter and we fly it to the top of a cliff and fire an RPG.
Yeah, exactly.
And it opens and there's some Oakleys inside.
But this time, we're modernizing IMF agents, okay? It's you have DoorDash. To order DoorDash.
Well, IMF is now like a gig economy job.
Yeah.
So they don't have healthcare. Exactly.
Yeah,
like
they're about to go on strike.
Yeah. They should. IMF goes
it's like
on
the
strike.
Other side thrift store. They only hire convicts.
That reminds me, the best part of this movie, the best part, the funniest part was they're like, so how do you get word to the IMF? And they're like, leave word. It's like, so you just leave word and hope that they get to it. It's like, by whatever means.
I do.
Go ahead.
I do just love when like the dialogue is poking fun at their own story structure.
Yeah, very, very self-aware, this one, I appreciate. So much like, better to be self-aware.
I did love that. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's insane.
I like that this movie has a scene where all these intelligent agency heads are in a room and they're basically like, listen. Some missions are even too impossible for the U.S. military.
So
some
we leave
missions,
word.
So we so just we say word. It and hope someone does it. That was ridiculous.
I will also say it's definitely really goofy. And at the beginning, I was like, okay, so they just have superpowers, I guess. I mean, I grew to like it because it's so like fun or whatever. But the pickpocketing skills on Grace and Tom Cruise may as well just have fucking portal
and
pockets,
they were like,
dude. They're not pickpockets. They're portal pockets. They reach in their hand. It's like the spot, dude. Their fucking hand is coming out somewhere else.
And it was just,
it's insane, dude. It's ridiculous.
I just liked how much Tom Cruise just kept leaning into that for no reason. He was just like, oh, you mean this?
Oh, no. There wasn't like, no the showmanship. Reason. It's because of the first movie where he's like, oh, you mean this floppy disk?
Yo.
Oh, wait.
Another.
Oh, you mean this floppy disk?
A callback. Okay.
Another MI1 callback.
The last Rogue Nation and MI7 just fucking love MI1. So much callbacks to MI1.
They even do the Kitsitch? What the fuck?
Kittredge.
Kittredge and him like seeing
the Dutch
where,
angles.
Mm-hmm. Now
you seem very upset, Ethan.
This part, people on Twitter, once again, people on Twitter being it's annoying.
Twitter users.
People
bro.
Are being annoying on Twitter comparing how much uglier this scene looks. They're like, you'll never be MI1. And I'm like, okay, it's not like they're talking about the cinematography and how washed out it looks, and I'm like, the room's full of smoke. That is completely different. It's completely fucking different. And they just kept being like, I'm like, I don't know. That was irritating me. I appreciated that callback. I thought that was
exactly,
cool.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
I appreciate also that he wasn't like, you seem really upset, Ethan, and he didn't say, you haven't seen me very upset. He was just like, no. But I'm
kind of
pissed.
I'm not upset. I'm just pissed.
I was wondering why he was back at all. I was like, man, I couldn't remember, but I thought this guy was dead.
Plus, this is the second in Mission Impossible 1, he did the same thing where it's like, oh, he's bad, he's bad, he's bad. And it's like, I guess not. You're kind of just brushing off that he was bad.
I thought
I guess
he was
he's
a
not
bad guy, yeah.
I think he's still bad, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters in this movie. Like, we haven't even talked about the two fucking doofus cops that are after Ethan the whole time.
I've been following Mission Impossible. Yeah, we need to talk about that. I've been following Mission Impossible on Instagram, and they'll just post character, like, see this actress. And I'm like, who? I don't even remember seeing this person in the movie. Who the fuck is this person? But yeah, those two, Shea Whigham and Greg Tarzan Davis.
That guy.
The cop duo chasing Tom Cruise down.
Buddy cops.
Who is Chief Whigham?
From Simpsons.
That's his real name, Shea Whigham.
I know, but like.
From The Simpsons.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
you want to get
Chief
into his
Whigham.
Discography? Oh.
I just, what do I know
We've
him
We've talked
from?
About him on the podcast a lot of times.
I totally recognize his face. I don't know what from.
He's in. He's
that
in
guy
so
looks
much.
Like a Whigham for sure.
He looks like a shit.
There's no more fitting name for that man than Whigham.
He's in Joker, Wolf of Wall Street, Across the Spider-Verse, Gray Man, Kong, Skull Island, First Man, Vice.
Kong must
Fast
be.
Fast and Furious 1-4, Take Shelter, Star Trek Beyond. This guy is an insane.
So he's in everything.
71 movies. And
really wiggles his way in there.
He's a supporting actor.
Yes.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Not a bad career.
He's an actor's actor.
And then Tarzan, who's this other guy?
Greg Tarzan Davis. He was in Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, right. Okay.
Nice.
He was cool. Mm-hmm. I was definitely, honestly, well, that's another thing about Dead Reckoning is Dead Reckoning, for being a part one, also feels like it was cut down from a longer movie, which is interesting because
I agree with that.
There's a
Hold
lot
up.
Of, go ahead.
Greg Tarzan Davis is in 4 movies. It's Mission Impossible, Total? Top Gun, and then The Call of the Wild, the fucking Harrison Ford dog movie,
the
and
fuck?
Then Tales from the Hood 2. He's been acting since 2018, and he's in 4 movies.
Quite a fucking insane. Trajectory yeah. so far, dude. Fucking, God damn, good for you.
He started as a Scientologist. Tom Cruise is like, you got rizzed, this kid. Guy. I'm going to get you into some movies.
He had a plan, dude. He's like, one day, I'm gonna meet Mr. Cruise.
And he was right. You're a good actor.
It worked out. Is that Masubi?
I guess the hose.
Moose? No, that's Masubi.
Sounds like the hose turning on.
The hose are barking upstairs. Ah, fuck.
Yeah, we gotta get back up there.
What the hell were we saying about this guy, the guy before him?
Wiggum.
Shea Wiggum. They're good. He was fun.
Oh, no. I was saying it feels like a movie cut down from a longer movie because...
Oh, wait,
like,
and it was.
Was
I think
it?
They,
okay.
I think they cut out 40 minutes.
Holy shit, that's a lot.
Like, his entire line of dialogue where he's like, maybe Ethan's right. Like, I just, there was a lot of stuff that I was like, oh, okay, I can see where this is going. And then just never happened. And I was like, I wonder if they're going to put that in the second movie. But really seems like a plot line you could have just put in this movie. So, I don't know.
I hope we get all those deleted scenes. It, 2 months ago, it was like, this movie is 3.5 hours long. And the Columbia or whatever CEO was like, we're going to cut it.
You think that they cut some stunts or just dialogue?
I bet they cut some fight scenes out. Not any big stunts.
Nothing big. Yeah, that's true, because I feel like that would be the...
Tom Cruise's producer.
The bread and butter, yeah.
They also established that Ethan Hunt in White Widow banged it out sometime in between movies, which is weird. That feels weird to me.
Well, she's really horny for him in Fallout.
I guess she is. Yeah, they kiss at the end.
She's like,
they never like establish her as like a romance.
No, there's times where she's like grabbing him. She's like, you're kind of a terrorist. So you're going to kill millions? Wow.
I kill women and children with poison gas.
Oh, that was
line for line.
They're like,
she's like, with all smallpox.
Right, I think it was with smallpox.
He's like, honey,
that's right.
I've killed women and children with a smallpox.
She's like, ooh,
I'll kill some French cops.
I don't care about that.
I don't care about them.
That just reminded me of something else. Oh, that's right. Her whole disguise part, we were laughing because we were like, dude, she's just looking at her brother, which I didn't even know was her brother until after the movie. Yeah. And he just does not know that
he's
it's
like,
completely
brown
different
eyes. They look good.
And they're just fucking massive. They're just like, fucking, her eye holes are just open agape as far as.
And that has just never, ever, ever been a thing.
Yeah, that was a weird choice to be like, you guys haven't done this before.
And
this isn't serving a purpose either.
I thought the
whole...
If anything,
it's just to kind of make the audience like, oh, I guess... Oh, she's wearing mask.
Which I'm like...
5 minutes later, you forget.
We knew that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. She wearing mask.
I thought they were... to me, as soon as I... First off, it wasn't even a thing where I was like, oh, yeah, wait a second. Her eyes are brown as shit. It was like, as soon as she puts it on, she's like, okay, big brown eyes. I thought they were like telegraphing how she was going to get caught later.
That's exactly. Yeah.
And like people are just like looking her right in the fucking eyes and I just don't think anything. That's crazy.
And she also
didn't... She fumbles the bag a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. Even when she's talking to Kittredge, she's like, also I want you to have this lady go free, Grace. Like I don't know. That whole scene felt very clumsy and clunky. And like,
it was funny though when she's putting in her bank information, she like covers it with her hands.
It's
like, okay.
Also, couldn't she still be good but take the money? Isn't that the whole thing is that they wanted him to buy the key so they could follow him or talk to him?
Yeah, I was like, I would have
just take the money anyway.
Taken the money. No reason he can't.
Then
do
he
that.
Just has that money still.
You could have just
There's
been
no
like,
alternative
yeah,
to that.
Put that into IMF resources.
I was going to say, especially since IMF resources is just fucking Ethan Hunt's wallet, his credit card.
His credit card.
Yeah, dude, his Cypress Platinum.
It's his matrimony he gets from his ex-wife from MI3. I don't know her name.
Matrimony? Is that really what that's called?
Don't you mean alimony?
Alimony.
I was like, is that the wife version of alimony?
Isn't matrimony just being married?
Yeah, it is.
Alimony? Isaac just got married. He doesn't even know what matrimony is.
He got alimony because it's all that money.
It's all little money.
All that money.
All that money. That's why they call it that. They call it alimony because it all that money.
This is all that money I have.
Speaking of, if you want to save all that money, you should use our monolith letterbox code for pro and patron accounts. That's MONOLITH.
Shut up! Shut up!
You
want to
make money or not?
I'm waiting for an email back from Matthew about that, by the way.
Matthew Letterboxd?
Mm-hmm. Matthew at Letterboxd HQ.
Matthew, his last name is Letterboxd.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Lillard Box?
Hello.
Matthew Lillard's box.
Speaking of Friday Night at Freddy's, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Is he in that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I met him. Had lunch with him.
Nice.
Turns out if you can get anyone to be in anything if you toss enough money their way.
Fair enough. Well, to, I guess maybe to like kind of put a pin in it, right? I did like Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. I'm stoked. I'm specifically curious with you, Ethan, because I know that you've had an issue with the part one, part twos of a few recent releases. How did you feel this compared to those? So like Dune and Spider-Verse, for example.
Yeah, I think it's not perfect, but I think I like this a lot more than those two, just because I feel like if instead of Gabriel getting away on the train, Tom Cruise had knifed him, like that would still feel like just like a whole... It would just feel like another Mission Impossible movie. Felt like a Mission Impossible movie that ended on a cliffhanger. There was a lot more exposition, like Dune and Into the Spider-Verse, which, I guess for some context, I've just been having some beef with these part one bullshits. I thought we were over this stuff. I thought we were over it in the 2013s with Harry Potter and Twilight. But, yeah, I liked it better than... I was nervous, for sure.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I liked it more than I was scared I wouldn't.
Plus, but I feel like the...
I'm just scared that part two is not going to come out. That's the worst part. I'm like, maybe you shouldn't have left on a cliffhanger in case Tom Cruise fucking dies or something.
Or Ving Rhames.
Or Ving Rhames dies.
Oh, that would be so sad, dude. Mm-hmm. What if Benji died?
Christopher McQuarrie dies.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be sad, dude.
Or worse, canceled.
Oh.
Christopher McQuarrie canceled?
Oh, no.
They just got to hear and get someone else.
Tom Cruise escaped cancellation so much.
Exactly. And I don't think that Tom Cruise is going to keep his mouth zipped about Christopher McQuarrie. It's like, dude, just... Tom Cruise has, for being in a literal cult, people have done so much less than Tom Cruise.
gotten canceled.
It's very true.
Save cinema, get on canceled.
That's fair. I mean, I agree. I think that also this part one, I mean, I don't have as much of an issue, especially with Dune part one. I don't have much of an issue with it. Spider-Verse, I kind of get it. I think that the structure of the Mission Impossible movies just in general helps a lot because it's like this kind of hits all the boxes it needs to and then ends on a cliffhanger. It's not like it's, you know, and it's kind of like Fast X cliffhanger-ish as well, which is like, even though that movie was way worse. But
and also, I feel like this movie is a lot more, you know what, it is funny actually that you brought that up because I feel like, yeah, in the last little while, I don't have a particular negative feeling about part one, part two movies, but I have definitely felt that sort of anxiety. Like more often than not, I guess because of this and Spider-Verse, where I'm just like, you feel like you're right in the middle of this story, and then you can, but you're also like, it's been about two hours, 20 minutes now, and there's all this shit going on, and this is going to end any fucking second now, and I have to prepare for that feeling. I need to prepare for that feeling, and it's really distracting.
I was really worried. I thought for sure this movie was about to end on a cliffhanger of the train about to go over the edge. Or
oh,
like,
shit.
No, actually, what I thought it was when they're hanging and the piano was like... I could thought it was going to cut to black. I was like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would have been really not happy about that.
I would have been pretty pissed about that, too. That'd be fucking insane.
The reason that would have pissed me off is because that's one of those moments of tension where it's like, well, we know he's going to get out of it. It's not the point of... if he's going to get out of it, it's how he's going to.
Yeah, exactly.
So ending on that
cliff... There's no question he's going to get out of that. Yeah.
Ending on a literal cliffhanger, a literally him hanging from a cliff, like, I would have been pretty upset because I'm like, man, we're going to have to wait 3 to 6 years to find out how the fuck...
3 to 6 business years.
Yeah, God. When he's aged 8 years and he's like, jumps across.
For real.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that train sequence?
Up
until the train sequence, I was like... This is an 8, I guess. This is hitting the boxes for me, but the train sequence better be fucking good. And then we got there.
And boy, and it was. It was excellent through and through.
Now, for the audience at home, they made a train
from the scratch.
And we're not talking they about the one that went show. Around your Christmas tree when you were a kid.
No, no, no. We're not talking about Tom Hanks Polar Express here.
Nope.
Although we can talk about that.
We can talk about it.
And I hate it. But this train, they were trying to get a train that they could blow up, and crazily enough, no one was like, you can't blow up.
I can't
up
believe
our train.
They were also trying to blow up actual bridges. They were like, I can't believe Sweden doesn't want us to blow up this historical
bridge. Well, I guess they didn't want to burn their bridges.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey. I don't remember where that one was.
Yeah, so I fucking love that train sequence. One of my top Mission Impossible set pieces for sure.
I love it.
And the part where they're just like them running through each train car as it falls down, and the part where they go zero G for a sec. So good.
That's like better than I could have imagined too. Like I didn't expect that. I thought the train was just gonna crash and they were just gonna get out of it, but no, it was like one train car. Oh, get out of it, get out of it, get out of it. And then the next train car. Get out of it, get out of it.
And not only that, but then they're also train cars falling apart as they go.
Like, so as soon as they get out of him. Very Uncharted 2 core.
Yeah, absolutely. Very Uncharted 2. Like, same with Furious 7. Or is it Furious 7?
Yeah. Those, the Furious movies and the Mission Impossible movies played. Someone played Uncharted.
Yeah.
Someone played Uncharted, for sure.
Real. For real, for real. And now somebody at night, like, you need to watch some Mission Impossible.
Or just make it.
That's what I'm saying. They got to watch it and then make it.
Please. Dude, make it. Please.
Imagine.
Tom Cruise isn't getting any younger.
Naughty Dog.
Let's computerize him.
I was about to say that Naughty Dog Mission Impossible game, full CGI mocap voice acted by
because
Tom Cruise.
Because they can just do, that's what he needs to do. When he's too old for these, he needs to do video voice games. Acting for video games. God, and they can so just do. Cool.
They can make him 20.
They can do. Yeah, they can do fucking Gabriel origin story. They can do everything between
his
movies.
His problem with that would be he's like, but I'm not actually doing it. How is this going to make money if I'm not doing it?
He could do the mocap, dude. He could do the mocap in the studio.
We're
going to
have you. You're going to have a real train, but you're going to be wearing a suit. A mocap suit.
Yeah,
T-pose. Oh, the train's falling.
Yeah, the train scene was sick, though.
Yeah, very, very, very good.
Lots of good fight sequences.
So good, dude. I loved it.
Some unnecessary stuff. The whole Carrie Elwes popping up is like, what is this? What does this do? What does this do for anybody?
Yeah.
The action was cool. The fucking him, the whole skydiving sequence, the part where she's about to get got and he fucking crashes through the window and kills the guy, and he's just like,
lots of funny moments.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a funnier Mission Impossible movie for sure. Up there with like Ghost Protocol.
Him basically not, him killing those last two bad guys by just being a goofball was pretty funny. He crashes in and then he's like, oh. Then the wind drags him back and he smashes the other guy.
Yeah. Also like really brutal looking. They really went all out on the physicality, as they always do. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it.
I feel like I remember saying that it was funny when someone just... Oh, no, never mind. I'm thinking... Me and Clissa were watching The Pacifier last night.
That's what you were thinking of.
Yeah, and there's a part where Vin Diesel blows up a helicopter. I was like, damn, those guys are dead. He just killed those guys. Anyways.
Peter Pan to dance. Classic.
Good stuff. But for me, it ranks fourth, I think.
I think I'm right there with you. Yeah,
you're right there with you, too.
I think
it's better than Rogue Nation. And then Rogue Nation.
I think those two, before it was Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation are like siblings, but now it's like Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation are cousins.
Yeah.
Dead Reckoning and Rogue Nation, those are siblings.
Yeah, those are at the four for me. I think it's definitely better than Rogue Nation, but I think Rogue Nation is still right under it. Yeah,
for me, all of these movies are like, there's no definitive ranking. It's like okay, S tier, Fallout. And then A tier, it's MI3, MI1, arguments Wednesday, Thursday, I'll swap them regardless of how I feel. Like those are tied for second.
Totally agreed.
Third tier for me is this one is Dead Reckoning, Rogue Nation tied together.
Mm-hmm.
Below that is
Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol.
And then a few
and then
tiers
below
down.
That is MI2. Yeah, exactly.
We're on the same page.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement.
I 100% agree. It's really hard. Yeah, in the tiers, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah,
it's really hard.
Is a better way
when
to
I think
it.
Of MI1 versus MI3, I'm like, oh.
It's completely different. It's just completely different.
But really good.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in for the very first ever Monolith tier list.
Yeah.
First ever.
And we're all in a complete agreement.
That's a rarity.
Honestly, the biggest bummer of Dead Reckoning was just realizing, damn, no movie is going to top Fallout. That is just, that's as good as it's going to get.
But at the same time...
Go ahead.
It's a... I'm glad we have it. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like Fallout is, if anything,
makes me appreciate Fallout even
yeah,
more.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like,
especially
dude.
Considering the scripts are never ever finished. Like when J.J. Abrams or when Brad Bird directed Number 4, he kept bugging J.J. Abrams for the script for months, and then J.J. Abrams was like, "Which script do you want? We have 20 scripts, dude. None of it is pieced together. The way that they make all these movies is it's just all the producers throwing ideas, and then they get the best ones and then construct the story around that. So the fact that Fallout was made like that, and it's just this insanely
so cohesive
fucking
yeah.
great movie.
I was telling Isaac about that when you told me about that, because that is fucking crazy.
That's just,
considering
these
how coherent
should
these
be terrible.
Movies are. Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think Fast and Furious movies do that. I think they have at least some kind of idea of what they're going to do.
Well, I think the difference is that MI2 thrives in making the plot so convoluted and wordy. It's like you just get so lost in like the anagram alphabet industries of it, of like, wait, and like the double crossiness of just being like, oh my God, it like hurts your head trying to unwrap what exactly is going on in the movies. But at the end of the day, it's like it really doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's just stuff to get us from stunt to stunt.
Mm-hmm. It's like I don't know if you were there when I was talking about the tweet that was like someone's review of this movie said that like, well, like incredible over the top stunts can't make up for a messy script, and someone quote tweeted it, and they were like, I bet it can. And it's like exactly,
absolutely,
very
it
true.
Can, absolutely, it can.
It's exactly how I feel about it. But.
I think on the next rewatch of these movies, I'll be very happy to come back to Dead Reckoning.
Yeah. Are you guys going to see it again while it's in theaters? It has a very, very long theater run.
I'm going to try to see if my parents want to see it, because otherwise they're not going to go to the fucking theater unless I'm like, we're going to go see Mission Impossible.
Luckily for me, it's my dad's birthday tomorrow. Always Ooh. In Tom Cruise season and Christopher Nolan season.
Nice.
It's always my
very
dad's
good.
Birthday. So very we're always,
nice.
I'm always like, we should pay extra for the IMAX, Dad.
Are you going to see it in IMAX again?
I'm going to maybe try to get, or no, they bought their tickets already. So at Regal.
See, is it at least RPX?
Nope.
Oh.
But at least it's a comfy seat. Fuck the IMAX
dude.
Seats.
I agree.
I hate that shit.
I love IMAX, but holy shit.
I'm second guessing my Oppenheimer. I'm like, do I want to sit in a seat like that for three plus hours?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
Fuck me,
not.
Man. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, dude.
The most happy medium, RPX, ScreenX.
For real.
Yeah, I think if I were to see it again in theaters, I'll probably see it at Regal, if then. But like I was telling Ethan earlier, it's hard because Calissa has zero interest in Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Can't blame her.
And I'm like, there's movies that I
That's
love
a boy movie.
That I didn't even watch twice in theaters. Like I'm Fair. Like, a Fallout,
like
watching
Big
it
Lebowski.
At your house the other day, that's the second time I've seen Fallout in
shit
5 years.
Rocks,
like,
and I still put
so
that
good.
On the biggest screen I could do for you.
Yeah, and it was,
was
great.
A great time.
It was great. It was
amazing
great.
Time, yeah. I was going to say, every time I've seen that movie, I've seen it at least 3 times now, and every time it's an event. Like,
yeah,
it just
yeah.
speaks to
the
quality of that movie.
We saw it on 4th of July 2 years ago in the front yard at our old house on the projector.
Oh, good times.
One thing that's maybe the last thing I'll say about Dead Reckoning, for me, it solidified the Mission Impossible franchise as probably one of the best, like, just most can. It's like one of the best top tier action series. Like, Fast series is fun, but 80% of those movies are bad movies, but it's like bad fun. And like, and then there's a couple other, like, okay, the James Bond series. Yeah, there's so many of them, and some of them are really good, but some of them are just kind
of forgettable.
Half of
them are not good, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like forgettable or just boring.
Just forgettable.
Which is the last thing a fucking action movie should be.
Exactly.
Mission Impossible hasn't been bad since 2000. I don't remember when it
and
came out. 2000.
Even then, MI2 is perfectly watchable.
Yeah, it's a fun little Y2K
it's
time
totally
capsule.
It's totally fun. Like, so it's. I
he
just
has the best hair in that movie. I'll say that. That's his best hair.
I love the slow-mo.
He had some locks
three cuts
on, dude.
Of him doing the.
Oh, that was sick.
He had some fucking locks on. Should he bring it back?
He brought
I
it back
don't
for
know if he, could.
He brought it back for Ghost Protocol.
A little bit,
like,
dude. I think he looks anymore. Great in Ghost Protocol. I think he's his best.
He looks
look.
Good. I think he looks second best in Fallout.
Yeah, he looks great.
And
in
he
Fallout.
Looks rough now.
He looks kind of rough.
He's
now. He's just got to get downhill. That. He's got to get that Hubbard Botox. That's all
Hubbard.
Yeah,
L. Ron Hubbard.
He has Botox.
That's
the Scientology guy.
Yeah,
I don't know
Scientology.
If he's Scientology.
I don't do politics.
He separates the art.
That's
from the
prime
artist.
Minister of Scientology.
I separate the science from the tology. Let's
just
say
exactly.
that. Ooh. The science is sound.
Okay.
The tology
part. is where we get mixed signals.
That's where I tune out.
Where our wires cross a little bit.
Well, anything else to say about Dead Reckoning before we start?
Everybody go
up?
Fucking see it in theaters.
Oh, absolutely.
Save the theaters. Save cinema, movies, popcorn. Go please, see in theaters. Please. Go see on the popcorn. Biggest screen possible. The cast and crew did that. He's saving the movies.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, you love the movies. Go save the movies. Go see it.
We're getting even closer. It's a good... Thank God we at least get like a tasty, tasty year of movies before this next fucking year. 2 years of drought.
For real.
Because
God,
we're eating this
there's
year.
There's going to be some good AI movies, though. There's going to be some good AI movies.
I'm going to love watching the AI-generated movies where their faces look really good and most of it looks believable, but their hands are all mismatched.
Their hands are all fucked. Their legs turn into one leg during some shots.
They just keep glitching in and out.
That's going to be sick.
Yeah, it's going to be very fun. Ethan, thanks once again for coming on this week.
Like old times.
You're welcome.
Loved having you on. Have you on again. I'm Isaac. Thanks for listening, folks. You can follow me anywhere at Isaac Roman. Jake, where can people find you?
Anywhere relevant is going to be at _moonscented. And I agree with Ethan. You got to go to the theaters. You got to save the movies. You got to get in there. And when you're done watching the movies, you're going to want to rank it on Letterboxd. Why don't you make that a little bit easier with your Pro or Patron account? And while you're at it, get a Pro or Patron
account.
Get it 20% cheaper with our code Monolith, MONOLITH. Using a browser, not in the app, because they don't like the codes.
At Dead Man's Bones, has anything changed?
Nope.
Hell yeah. Thanks to Fonz for the music. Thank you all for listening this week. We'll catch you next week, where we will finally be talking about Barbenheimer, folks, the event of the summer. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.
I love my popcorn. Movies, popcorn.